Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to go? Also, all right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Caleb Plant and Canelo Alvarez. Habib, it was on again, now it's off again. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to dive into it. But first, we got a guest here, Ruben Torres. How are you? How are you, man?
I'm just going good, man.
Awesome. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, Ruben.
Just enjoying this lovely Sunday, you know?
Absolutely, man. Of course. Now, Ruben is fighting Saturday, August 14th. You can get tickets at thompsonboxing.com, and you're going to be fighting Richard Zamora. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. You know, the fight's on August 14th. Not this Saturday coming up, but next. It's going to be out of Omega Park Arena in Corona, California. It'll be my 16th professional fight. So we're looking to stay undefeated going in there against a seasoned opponent.
So now he's fought, now your opponent has fought like Mario Barrios, guys like Mario Barrios and stuff like that. Is it, you know, what do you think when you know he's fought like that level of competition, what goes through your head? I mean,
just knowing that he's not going to fall for, you know, you got to be a little bit more tactical in there, just knowing that he's seen some things, but he definitely hasn't seen me in there. So just keeping that in the back of your mind, like you're gonna be yourself, but then again, there's a chance that he might have seen some of the things that you bring to the table. So you kind of gotta be unique in there.
Gotcha. Now, is this the first fight you're having in front of fans? I guess after the pandemic, or have you fought in front of people before? When the pandemic ended, of course, there was no fans and everything like that. Is this your first fight back with fans?
Yes. So during the pandemic, I fought like 3 times, I want to say, in the last 2 years or year and a half. I fought once before the pandemic. So, like, I fought, like, in February, and then I think everything went on lockdown, like, in March of 2020 or something like that. So, this is my first time in front of an actual live crowd in a while.
Do you prefer?
I'm excited about it. It's going to be a good.
Yeah, do you prefer fighting in front of a crowd versus, you know, just fighting in the – I mean, is it harder to focus, or is it the same thing? What's different about it?
It's not harder to focus. It's definitely different. It's more energy in the building. You know, I swear, if you would have been there when we were on lockdown and fighting in front of, you know, just the judges and our coaches, like, it's literally like a sparring session. You're in there and it's quiet. You can hear mouses, you know, chewing through the wall or the walls and stuff like that. So it's real quiet, and, you know, just having the energy of the fans and, you know, people you don't even know cheering you on or cheering your opponent on. It's exciting and it's fun. So I'm happy that that's back. I'm glad it's back.
Now, most of your fights, they don't go the distance. You get a lot of guys out of there early. This is a step-up fight. How do you see this fight playing out? Do you think you can get him out of there early too, or because this is a step-up, do you anticipate this going some rounds here?
I believe I can. I'm not expecting him to go out first round, but I think I definitely, the power that I bring to the table, not to say I'm going to look for the knockout. I mean, if it comes, it comes. And if we have to go the full distance, I'm prepared for that. But, I mean, who knows? We'll see. You got to tune in August 14th.
Absolutely. And this fight's going to be in Cali, is that correct?
Yes, sir, in Corona, California.
How's it feel, man, you know, fighting in front of that crowd? Because you got a big following there in California, and I'm sure they all come out for you. They came out last time for you. Talk about that crowd and talk about that energy.
Oh, man, they're turned up. They're turned up. It's fun.
I know they
are. Especially, like, going from fighting, you know, you're the first fight, and then now to being the main event. Before we used to fight, and it wasn't like hardly, you know, just your family in there, maybe just, you know, a couple cousins and uncles and just your parents. And now it's like everybody actually gets to fully see you. Like everybody who pulled up for the event, you're the main event. So it's like, it's a lot of energy. It's vibes in there for sure. It's vibes.
Now, another thing about that area, California, it's a hotbed for boxing. A lot of tough fighters come out of there. Any big names that you've been working with in the gym that you could probably tell us and talk to us about?
Shit, my boy Arnold is, I don't know if I can cuss on here, my bad. But
oh, you can.
Yeah,
but
Arnold is,
he's ranked,
Arnold Barboza Jr. is ranked number 5.
There you go.
In the 40s, so
yeah.
That's like, that's a big name up there for sure. Look out for him, man. Michael Dutchover is my stablemate. We've been getting a lot of work in, too. So those are my two, like, main spar partners for this camp. That I could like really mention like that.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So, for those of you who don't have never seen you before, and how would you describe your style?
Boxer puncher. I think I've been described as a boxer puncher. I know I got a lot of sharpening up to do on my boxing because I'm like a real fan of like just, you know, the tactical side of it, not just knocking everybody out. I know I unfortunately I'm blessed with that kind of power, I guess, but. Not just boxing, being able to fight behind the jab and, you know, slip certain punches and counter, you know, just look sharp in there and, you know, like make it look easy, even though it's not.
So what would a win here on the 14th mean to you as far as, because this is more of a, you know, you were going 8 rounders and then if you win this one, you're going to step up, correct?
Yes, sir. Just making a statement, man. Like, just showing that I'm here, and I know I have a long distance to go still to get to that top level. But just making a statement that I'm not going nowhere, and I'm not letting the fact that I'm 15-0 whatever get in my head. Like, I'm still working hard, putting work in the gym, and climbing that mountain, man. Because we're not at the top yet, and that's where we're trying to go.
There you go. There you go. So again, this is going to be on August 14th. Go to thompsonboxing.com for tickets. And, Ruben, I tell you what, man, we wish you luck. We'll definitely be watching, man.
I appreciate you guys, man. Yeah. Where are you guys located at? Matter of fact,
I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, otherwise known as Titletown. Everybody knows Titletown. Joe Habib, he's in that area. What is it? Steve, what is it? Boston?
I'm from the concrete jungle here in Boston, baby.
Yeah, I don't even know. I couldn't even pick out Boston on a map.
That's right.
Couldn't even pick out Boston. Everybody knows where Cincinnati is, though.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, man, no doubt. I already been telling people about you because you got some power, bro. You're a big puncher. You're an exciting fighter. I already been telling people to keep an eye on you. And I'll be shouting you out, man, to all the podcasts that I'm on, all the boxing heads out there, I'll be shouting you out. And definitely, if I was in town, no doubt I'd be going to your fight. No doubt, man.
That's love, man. I appreciate y'all. Yeah,
hey,
for real.
Hey,
I appreciate y'all, you know, keeping up.
Yeah, before we jump out of here, man, what's your social media? Are you on Instagram or Twitter or anything?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. You guys can follow me at AceGotIt, ACE_GOT1T. Ace got it.
Okay.
I just changed it because it used to be Hunted Torres, but everybody would call me Honey because it would like the T would connect with the Honey and then start my last name.
Yeah, I have that problem, man.
Honey.
I have that problem.
Steve's got that issue too, you know.
I got a lot of these honey dips calling me Honey, man. These chicas, you know.
Nah, but I mean, I don't mind that, you know. But then it was like I was in a boxing gym with a bunch of dudes and everybody called me in there Honey. I'm like, I don't know, something doesn't feel right here, so. Gotta change that, get that changed up.
That's more Beef's issue is when
he's
in a boxing gym with dudes.
On there, Facebook, I'm just at Ruben Torres.
All right, man. All right, Ruben, we're going to get moving, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. That was good, man. He's a good guy. He's a lot of fun, man.
He's cool, man.
Yeah, he sure was. That guy's got some power, no?
No, he can punch, bro.
He can punch, right?
I was watching some of his fights on YouTube, man. He can punch. Make sure y'all check him out. He's a good fighter, bro.
Yeah, ThompsonBoxing.com, August 14th, man. Yeah, it's Dale from Chi Sound. Yeah, it'll be streaming on that website, so there you go.
Yeah.
There it is, man. Good stuff. At about 6:20, we got Montero. About 10 more minutes, I think we got Montero coming in. I'm hoping anyway. Let's go over some of the fights, though, beforehand on Fox. Michael Coffey versus Jonathan Rice. Michael Coffey was, what, a 24-1 favorite? Or I guess Rice was a 24-1 dog. Jonathan Rice wins via TKO in the fifth over Coffey. I tell you, Rice got this, you know, Rice got this notice 48 hours ago. Coffey just looked awful at this fight. I noticed it from the very first round. He was having issues with his distance, and he was also having issues with that jab. You know, and he couldn't get out of the way. Why do people – I don't understand. Maybe you can help me out with this. Because the one thing I noticed that Coffey did the entire fight was drop his left hand. His left hand was down around his waist. I mean, almost belly, you know, right around his belly. And he was getting clipped with that overhand right over and over. And if you saw the first round of that fight, you saw the entire fight. Because he got clipped and clipped. And, you know, I told my dad after the first round, I said, you know what? He can't stand up to all those right hands. There's no way this fight can go. You can get hit a couple of times and you can take a shot. I get it. You can't get hit all night like that. Not flush like he was getting hit.
No.
Sure enough, man, he got KO'd KO'd in the fifth, TKO'd anyway. Right hand swelled his eye up and everything like that. I mean, I thought the Rice looked really good for 48 hours notice.
Yeah.
You know, guy looked really good, man. What you know, Beeb, why did they do that? I don't understand. And why didn't this corner make any adjustments on this?
Well,
those are basic things, man.
A lot of times a guy will keep his left hand low and he'll keep that backhand up around his face, around the chin and nose area. But more often than not, why guys do that is they're looking for the guy to lead so they can counter. So it's more of a baiting in type tactic. But what was happening was I think Rice had quick hands. I think Coffey looked a little bit surprised with the hand speed. That's number one. Number two, one thing that Rice was doing was he would throw a shoulder feint and sell the jab, and as he would throw that shoulder feint, he would lean in and he would throw the lead right hand. So instead of throwing that right hand off a jab, he was throwing it. He was leading it, right? And you know what he did also was he changed the trajectory of the punch. Instead of throwing it straight down the middle, put a little bit of a loop to it. See how he came, and he was just looping it right around the guard. And I think that was a little surprising as well to Coffey. So, you know, this guy Rice was a little bit more slicker than anticipated, I would imagine, for Coffey. And not only that, I just think that, you know, the late switch of opponents, I don't always think that's ideal. I know Coffey took it at you know, short notice. But, again, he's used to doing that type of thing, you know what I mean, because he's not – expected to win a lot of times, so he's in a no-lose situation.
Yeah.
But Coffey is kind of in a different situation because more pressure on him. He's got you know, he's highly touted. He's supposed to be you know, a blue chipper, but you know, that having to switch things up at the last minute, I don't think that's the greatest you know, set of circumstances. But if a guy like Rice, who has no choice but to take these fights as they come because he doesn't have the machine behind him, you know, so he's more, you know, in a better situation. He's more adept to be able to slide into this position and excel in this position more so than Coffey, I would think. And Coffey did look flat, but I don't want to take anything away from Rice because Rice, like you said, took the fight on short notice. Even if he's used to doing that, it's still hard to do. It's still a tough ask.
Yeah.
So you got to give him credit. I mean, he was a huge underdog for a reason, right? And I was happy for him. I mean, you know, I liked his energy at the end of the fight. Very inspirational, you know?
Yeah, I loved it, man. I thought he did really well. Where does Coffey go from here? I mean, You know, I mean, he started boxing, what, when he was 30? And now he's, what, 35?
Yeah.
You know, there was some glaring stuff in there that glaring basics that are missing.
Yeah, this was a huge monumental setback. And it's going to take some time to have to rebuild from this. It's not going to be easy.
You know, I didn't pay attention to his corner. I'll be honest with you. I didn't pay attention. I don't know if they showed any of it. Why were they not telling him to keep that left hand up?
Well, like I said, I mean, that's probably his style. That's how he's always fought. And they probably thought that he would be able to counter, because if you noticed, his volume wasn't very high.
Right.
So it was pretty evident to me that he was looking for a big counter shot. And maybe they felt as though that it was going to be available to them, and that one punch could change the fight. And then, you know, Rice looked like he was slowing down a little bit, but then he got his second win because he started to slow that down just a tad. So maybe they thought that he would slow down and he would get a little sloppy, maybe reach in with something, and they can catch him.
That's
honestly
a big gamble, I mean, that's a big gamble.
Well, honestly, I think they underestimated him. I know the rest of us did. I know the odds makers did, right?
So, the only one who had Rice winning was Corey. I think Corey had him by a fifth-round knockout.
No.
He called it, man. It was insane, you know. He called it after the fight, but, I mean, he called it, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's what
yeah.
it is. Yeah, I would like to see Rice again, man. He looked really smooth in there. He really did. I thought he looked good. Coffee, I mean, as far as where he goes from here, man, I don't know that you're going to make it back to the limelight, put it that way. I mean, he's 30, you know, 35 or something like that. He started fighting. He's only been fighting professionally for 5 years. He took it up at the age of 30. There's some big fundamentals that are missing there, man. So, and to try to put those into place now, when he's older, it's going to be tough. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about this one, man. Vito Milnecki, friend of the show, versus Noah Kidd. Vito Milnecki, man, so he was supposed to fight James Martin. So before we even talk about the fight, he was supposed to fight James Martin. All right, James Martin came in overweight. I didn't get the thing on how much he came in overweight. I don't know. But James Martin came in overweight. Milnecki says, I'm not fighting him. Fights off. Now, they said, hey, well, you can have some of his purse or you can choose a different opponent. He said, I'm just going to choose a different opponent. Excuse me. So rather than take the money, he went ahead and chose a different opponent. And he dominated that guy, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, the one thing that struck me here, though, is that here's a guy who that very night that he lost, they said he kept calling this promoter saying, hey, you need to get me this fight again. You need to get me this guy again. You know, even though he just had him, he said, you need to get him for me again. Okay, they got him for him. You spent all training camp going through this whole deal, revenge, 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 you know. And, okay, so now you get to fight time, comes in a little heavy, and you just say, no, I'm not doing it. What is that? I don't know if it was handlers, if it was him. Because the Milnecki I saw last night would have beat James Martin. James Martin is no tough out. You know, he's going to fight. You're going to have a fight on your hands. The guy he fought, he got rid of him. He was a little awkward and he got rid of him. But why? I don't understand, like, how you could have all this on your mind. This, all you were thinking about is revenge. I'm going to get my win back. I'm going to get it back. And then all of a sudden, you know. Robert just texted me. He said he came in 4 pounds overweight. He came in at 151, supposed to be 147. You're allowed a 1 pound differential either way. So in essence, he came in, 3 pounds over what he was contractually allowed to weigh. 3 pounds?
Well, really, that Eric. I mean, Milnecki has fought at 154 before. He fought the first fight. I think he weighed like 152 pounds or something like that. The first time they fought, it was at junior middleweight. So I don't think it was a big deal. I think he probably should have went through with the fight, but obviously someone must have told him otherwise, right?
Yeah. Here, let me bring Montero on here. How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How's it going? Mike Montero, everybody.
Come aside, hey, Michael.
It's coming aside. Hey, am I overdressed? I hope I'm not overdressed for the occasion.
Mike, yeah, you're over. You're way overdressed, my man.
Sorry,
what are you doing, man?
Look,
hey,
Mike, look great.
Hey, all right, so we're talking about Vito Mielmecki here. And last night, and he looked great last night. He looked really good. My problem came in, though, at the weigh-in. The guy weighed in 4 pounds overweight. I believe you're allowed 1 pound when it's not a title fight, 1 pound north or south. So, and essentially, he came in 3 pounds over the weight, okay? So, you know, with Mielmecki, this is the guy, James Martin, he lost to last time.
Right.
Oh, his whole camp, he's thinking about revenge. He called the promoters. He wanted the fight again. He wanted the spice so bad. And then he gets to the scale and 3 pounds. Then he says, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't know. So did you catch the post-fight interview?
I did.
Yeah.
Did you see some of the things he said? It seemed like he was mad. And maybe there were some other things that he wasn't putting on the record that he had heard or saw or witnessed, that like some fuckery. Didn't want to bring it up publicly, but it seemed like there was a little bit of shenanigans maybe going on, you know, and maybe that's why he didn't go through with it.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think was the case? I mean, I think he was probably advised. I mean, I don't think Vito was scared of the guy. I mean, they fought before. So what's, you know, but it sounds like, I mean, it almost sounded like in the interview that he was advised to do that, or it was like, you know,
or maybe kind of a revenge thing. It's hard to know, man. I know if I killed myself to make weight in the guy that I was going to fight, it was 3 pounds over, you know, and I wanted to kind of get back at him. You want to get back at him in the ring, but it's like, you know, I think Vito said multiple times in the post-fight interview, like, I did my job. He didn't do his job. You know, he kind of drove that point home. Maybe this is a way for him to kind of be like, well, fuck you then. You ain't going to get the fight.
What's
but he ended up getting a fight anyway. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but what's worse, though? Like, you know, I mean, he's getting beat. He's taking his money. He's taking money out of his pocket as well, out of Martin's pocket, because he would have got a big, what is it? I don't know what it is in California, but, you know, you're getting, what, 10, 20% of his purse?
That's a good point.
That hurts you. That hurts you more than anything, because that's why you're fighting. You're not fighting for free.
You got to think that the weight factor played into, you know, I do think he was advised, like you said, Eric, but I think the weight factor, just style-wise, he wasn't comfortable with it, and he made an executive decision. What was interesting to me is in the post-fight interview, he was asked by, I can't remember the woman's name, about doing the rematch with Martin, and he said, I don't need him. I'm moving forward. To me, I'd want that to run that back, you know, and have him make weight and run it back. But that was an interesting answer to me.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, and he posted on Instagram or Twitter or something like that, said, I'm only going to address this once, you know, and was real like, you know, again, I did my job. He didn't do his, and that's why we're not going to fight. I'm going to move forward. I don't need him anymore, blah, blah, blah. But it is odd, no? I mean, again, that, you know, you called for this rematch. That's all you wanted. That's all you were, you know, and you trained for it all this time, and 3 pounds at the scale, that was it? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I'd want to run it back. I know that's me. But, again, we might not know something. Maybe they know something. Maybe there's something that happened in the first fight that they saw happening again and said, we ain't doing this again.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, now he fought Noah Kidd. Won in the second round. I mean, it was a one-sided fight. Noah Kidd was a little bit awkward, but I think he looked really good against him. But, after seeing Joey Spencer and James Martin fight, I would have really loved to have seen Mielmecki and James Martin fight in that second time, you know, in that second one.
I if he made improvements, made adjustments.
Yeah.
Because this fight against Kidd showed us nothing. We don't know.
No.
Yeah, you got a W, your fans are entertained, cool. But did you improve on anything? Did you learn anything? We don't know.
Right. Yeah, it was just it was an odd thing for me. I mean, I don't know. It was just weird, you know. And the other thing that was weird for me in regards to Vito, and I love Vito, man. He's a great guy. But the other thing that was strange for me was when Joe Goosen took him under his wing. He was training with Joe Goosen for 6 months, And then he moved back home because he said he didn't want to, you know, he was kind of homesick, basically. And then he wanted to move back to Jersey. I just thought that was a little, you know, you got guys like Ray Salim, who moves from Michigan all the way down to Las Vegas, doesn't know a soul out there, and just makes it work, you know. So I don't know. I guess just different people. I don't know.
Well, Ray Salim, well, let's see where they wind up 2-3 years from now. I think Ray Salim has a bright future in front of him.
Yeah.
He's making the right moves, you know. For Minucci, yeah, cool, you want to be back at home. I understand that. He's a young guy. I think as he gets older, he might understand there's times you need to pull away from your family and put yourself and your career first. But I can't tell you how many young fighters I've advised that I've met over the years, especially since moving here to Atlanta, because I meet kids at the gym here. I'm like, dude, you got something, but you got to move to L.A., you got to move to Vegas. You got to move to at least Houston or something. You can't do it here. I wouldn't even go to New York. I'd advise against that. You got to go out west. That's where the gyms are. And some have, but most of them are like, I don't want to leave my girlfriend. I don't want to leave home. Okay. Well, you guys enjoy your long climb to the middle.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it is what it is.
All right, so let's talk about this Canelo and Plant situation, okay? So where we left off last week, as we announced on the show that it was just about to happen, they were just about to sign off, midway through the week, everything just goes south. And it's weird, because Coppinger said he had sources that said this fight was going to happen, and Coppinger's always right, so this is weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
So let me understand, just so I got the gist of it, and if I'm missing anything, let me know, okay? So Canelo wanted more money. They gave it to him. He wanted, cut of the pay-per-view, the Spanish TV. They gave it to him. They gave him everything he could possibly want. And the hill that they're going to die on is, well, if he gets sick, they even said if he gets sick, They'll find a replacement. He'll get a replacement opponent for the same amount of money. No problem. All right, and I'm assuming that Canelo has to okay that person. But they said for Caleb, he said that basically if he gets sick or if Canelo gets sick, you have to wait for him. That is the hill they want to die on? I mean, if it's true and he says he gets all this money, he gets everything he wanted, but that's where I'm drawing my foot in the sand.
That's a diversion. That's a Coppinger diversion.
That doesn't make
diversion.
Sense, does it?
That's a Coppinger diversion, because that's not the whole thing. Because the multi fight deal is still not worked out. In my opinion, and what I just read this little piece that was sent to me, it says that they, besides the one fight deal, Alvarez was also extended a 2-fight deal that included a stay busy fight in December in his native Mexico, sources said. So in my opinion, what happened was they took the 3-fight deal and said, okay, we'll bring it down to 2. And I don't think Team Canelo was happy with that. You know, I think Plant's, it's out of Plant's hands. I think this is a Fox thing. I think Fox is putting pressure on PBC, and Fox is, you know, telling Heyman, whatever, instructing him, we want this guy for more than one fight. All right. I think that there's pressure on Heyman to deliver right now. And I don't think Fox is happy with what's going on with PBC right now. And, we've heard rumors that they may cut the deal short. It looks highly unlikely that they'll re-extend the deal when it expires next year. I think Plant is being advised very poorly here. And everyone loves to say how Heyman looks out for his fighters, puts his fighters first. But let's not forget, and I told Ness this on the Boxing Voice, Heyman has a company called Heyman Boxing LLC. And he's going to put that company first before his fighters. This is basically, in my opinion, malpractice on Heyman's part dealing with Plant, because Plant has made $750,000. That's his highest purse. He's going to get upwards of $10 million, right? Will the fight be bigger on pay-per-view? Perhaps. But if Canelo doesn't agree to these terms, then there's no fight. Both these guys are free agents. They could fight anywhere, right? You know, there's nothing stopping Plant from going on the zone. And if he's being told, oh, this has to be on pay-per-view because it's a bigger fight on pay-per-view, which it possibly, and more probably is. But Canelo is not going to agree to this 2-fight deal because he does have a comfort level with working with the zone, has a comfort level working with Eddie Hearn, right? And maybe he wants to do a one-off and go back to Eddie and work with the zone again. You know, that's perfectly fine. Will he take a little bit of a hit financially? Possibly, but He has the potential to make it up and then some. Plant does not. Plant does not. You know, and here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily a concession that Alvarez made by fighting on Fox. I know a lot of people are saying that, and they have a right to their opinion. I don't look at that as a concession because it doesn't matter whose cameras are going to be pointing at him come fight night. It's not going to have any outcome on the fight, right? But like I said, I don't think anyone's ducking anyone. I just think Caleb Plant is giving some horrible advice, and he's taking it. And I don't think Heyman is putting his best interest, Plant's best interest at heart. I think he's putting the company Heyman Boxing LLC at heart, and I think he's taking directives from Fox. So I think this is all – the majority of what's going on right now is because of Fox, in my opinion.
What is a two-fight deal for Canelo? If he loses, then he gets that rematch. He's got that rematch clause in there.
Yeah,
so,
but here's the problem, Eric. Why freeze Eddie out again? Eddie's done some good things for Canelo, right?
Yeah.
Why is he gonna do why is he gonna do Al Heyman any favors? Like, he's already doing the one favor by going over there, so I could see that. But he's also getting paid to do it, so it's not. It's more or less a courtesy. I don't look at it as a concession. That's like me. Someone saying to me, I have a barbecue to go to on Saturday, but I decide not to go to the barbecue because I'm going to work overtime on Saturday and I'm getting double time. And then I turn around to my boss and say, oh, I gave up a barbecue. No, you didn't give up a barbecue. I'm giving you double time. So you're getting paid to do it. So in other words, I don't look at that as a concession by Canelo. What I look at that as a courtesy. And he's getting rewarded handsomely to do it. But now they're trying to get a little bit too much out of him. And I see where his stance is. So I've been going back and forth with it. I'm not crazy about the injury clause either, but I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the multi-fight deal. They went from three and they brought it down to two. No, he wants one, and that's the problem. I think that's the sticking point. Mike, go ahead.
Well, I agree with a lot that you just said, B. But I would add that it's not a concession, but it cuts 50% of the negotiation out if. The first demand was made on the Heyman side, right? And they said it's got to be PBC Promotions, it's got to be Fox. So that cuts out the possibility of Matchroom's out, DAZN's out. So that's out. So now 50% of the possibilities are gone. And the deal is different for Canelo on DAZN because the foreign TV rights and things like that, he gets a bigger cut of. On the Fox deal, it's a little bit different because it's under the umbrella of PBC. So the way it works with the sponsorships and merchandising and things like that, Canelo does lose out on some of that. So with the guarantee, I'm with you. The injury clause, I'm not crazy about it. I've been saying that maybe they could amend it. They could amend the verbiage so that both sides are happy. I kind of look at it like this. You two guys, you have a show here at Ringside Reporter. Beeb, if I come to you and say, hey, I want you to come over to my channel, you're probably going to tell me to get fucked, right? Because you have a good working relationship with Eric. You guys work well.
He would.
But if I said, hey,
he's two-faced. He would do it, Mike. I know
he
would.
Well,
I know he would,
out,
Mike.
Hear me out.
I would work with you on Monday, and I would work with him on Sunday.
Okay. Well, if I told
double
you,
Jeff,
you got to be exclusive. You got to leave
Jeff.
Eric behind and be exclusive to me. You'd probably tell me, fuck off. But if I told you, I'll give you $1,000 per video, you'd probably tell Eric to fuck off, right? So, but you'd want a guarantee. Because if you did five videos for me, they go viral, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I got COVID. I can't pay you. I can't work. I can't pay you. Right? You're going to want guarantees. If you're going to burn that bridge, that relationship that you have, the comfort you have at Ringside Reporter to come over and do videos for me, and I'm offering you $1,000 a video, you want a guarantee. So I understand the injury clause and everything for Canelo. Here's one point, though. First of all, Kopp never mentioned the demand made by PBC side. That was the first demand before there was any negotiation here. Kopp didn't mention that in any of his pieces. He left that point out conveniently. But also, we've only heard from one side of the promotion.
Yeah, we've been saying that too.
Right?
We've been saying
and you guys know the quiet dude in the room is usually the dude who's about his business, who's actually doing shit. It's the guy talking that there's something going on there. He didn't run to the media, but sources were caught up with him very, very quickly. It was easy to get a hold of him. Everyone's trying to get a hold of Canelo right now. Trust me, okay? And it's hard to get a hold of Canelo. It's hard to get him alone for 5 minutes. It's really difficult. Everyone's trying. You think Comp 8 trying? Ioli, Rafael, everybody's trying. No one can get a hold of him. Why? They're working right now. So just do the math. look at the track record here. And, yeah, $40 million, maybe Canelo doesn't get that if he fights Bivol on the zone, but it's maybe 30, maybe 35. But he could get that during the rubber match with Golovkin. I know a lot of people don't want to see that. I'm not particularly interested in seeing it. I'm just saying, commercially, he could get $40 million for that fight. So if it was just about the dollars, he's got options for the dollars. This is, okay, I got to come play over on your universe, on your platform. We got to do it your way. I want certain guarantees written in. And, again, we're only hearing from one side. And people keep leaving that part out. So there's, I can't say on the record there's more to this than you are hearing about. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I know there is.
Okay.
You've probably talked
to the same people I've talked to.
Exactly. That's why I can't really blame. I know what's going on. It's Fox. This is Fox. This is all Fox, and it's Plant being told, oh, you have to fight here because if you go over there, you're leaving money on the table. Okay, but you're also not telling him that Canelo can go somewhere else and he's going to be making $750,000 in his next fight.
Yeah, are you really leaving money on the table if you go over to the zone and get $8 million versus $10 million at Fox? Well, you could get $750,000 or you could get $8 million.
What he's being told right now is we'll give you the $10 million guarantee and you can get a pay-per-view upside. They won't give you that over there.
Because there's no pay-per-view over there, blah, blah. I got you. But
that's the selling point. But if Canelo walks away, then he gets nothing.
Right.
Canelo will go from 40 down to 30.
Right.
He'll go from a potential 13 down to 750,000.
Right.
He's taking a substantial loss.
Why would you – I mean, if you're Caleb Plant, I mean, and again, there's back room and everything like that, but if you're Caleb Plant – again, you're getting $10 million, possibly $13 million for this fight. What, I mean, like, where are you going to get that kind of money? Who are you going to fight? Benavidez? That's not going to get you that kind of money.
Always read the fine print in the contract, guys. Those contracts over there, they got you. So there's not a whole lot to say Caleb Plant has at this point. If
wow.
he wants the fight, he can try to make the fight. He's going to have to maybe make concessions, but there's not really much he can say. It's out of his hands.
Jeez.
And it's so funny because it's such a violation. It's almost, in theory, a violation of the Muhammad Ali Act.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely is.
I don't know why hasn't anybody come out with that yet? I mean,
because when you read the Muhammad Ali Act, it's up to the states on how it's going to be enforced.
The jurisdiction.
It's so hard to enforce it, you know? So technically, I don't even know if he's allowed to just walk and go over there. It seems as though if he wanted to, he probably could. But it would damage his relationship with Heyman, and then there'd be retribution, and then his career would probably be over with PBC.
And no one's rushing to sign him
because after he loses the. And here's another thing.
So he's
thinking if I walk away, then I'll have this one fight, but then my career will be over, basically, because they'll never get me another fight again, and there's no guarantee I'm going to get a fight anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he'll probably lose badly. And here's the thing. If you're him, you have to be saying to yourself, why do they want Canelo for a multi-fight deal? So they're basically telling me they don't think I'm going to win.
That's a great point, dude.
How can he not see that his team has no faith in him winning this fight? And Luis the Cubist too, right?
Yeah.
He could be saying, well, I'm losing a big cut here if this fight don't happen, but I'm losing a bigger cut if I damage my relationship with Heyman because all these fighters that I manage that are advised by Heyman could cut me off just like he cut off DiBella when DiBella
– Yeah.
So that everyone's looking – like no one.
Lou is his dude too, man. Lou did so much work for him.
He's a grunt over there, man.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's on a fucking – I see him – like when I used to go to events with Ness, he was there. He hustled.
Dude.
He's giving his number out to everybody. Call me.
Lou's a hustler, man.
Lou is a hustler.
Yeah.
But everyone's afraid to piss off Al Heyman. Everyone's afraid.
That was a good reason. I mean, he's a
powerful friend.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But, yeah, here's the thing. There's no other place Caleb Plant can go where he can make 25% of what he's going to get fighting Canelo. It's not like he could go somewhere else and get half that amount or something.
No.
It's not even close. So the only possible option is Benavidez. But if you do a pay-per-view between him and Benavidez, we'll each maybe get a couple mil, maybe. I'm being generous.
Yeah,
right.
Each,
a pay-per-view does 200,000 buys, maybe,
if that.
The Mexican American fans would buy in. That's the thing with Plant. He brings no demographic to the table. He has no fan base, and I'm not saying this to put the guy down. I respect him as a fighter, and he's accomplished more in boxing than 99% of people who ever take up boxing. But the fact is, business wise, he really doesn't bring much to the table. It's just that belt. And yeah, does Canelo want to be undisputed? Sure. But does he want to be undisputed that badly? Does he need it that? No. He
can be honest with you. I don't think any of these fighters really put much stock in this undisputed, because think about it. As soon as they get it, they vacate the titles anyway.
It boils up.
And it's more trouble than it's worth, because you got to fight all those mandatories. You got to pay all those sanctioning fees. You remember when Baldemir beat Judah and he had the three belts? He couldn't afford to pay the IBF sanctioning fee, so he had to vacate the title. And Judah and Mayweather fucked the IBF.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean,
crazy, right?
It's more trouble than it's worth. Now
there's eight different titles in the WBA per division, and, you know, five
regular
different WBA
regional. There's a ton.
Everybody loves the virtue signal about how the honor and the dignity of fighting for legacy and fighting for these undisputed this that. Fighters are fighting for money. They really are.
That's all they're fighting
for money.
That's it.
Canelo could have been undisputed in other divisions, but it did. I don't think it really matters to him. He can go up to 175 and unify. It'll be.
I think Eddie Hearn had a business plan for him when he went to him and said, "Listen, I got several guys at 68. Well, we'll clean that out. You can say you're going for undisputed because some people are going to talk about the level of opposition you're fighting, but we're going to sell it as undisputed.
And
you can just mop the floor with these guys, which is what he's doing. There's one belt left." That guy happens to be at PBC. But does anyone really think Caleb Plant's going to put up that much more of a challenge than Smith?
Loses worse.
I think
Saunders would beat him. And this is no disrespect. I have nothing against that. I would pick Saunders to beat him. I would pick Caleb Smith to beat him. Too. I would. And I would.
I think they're close fights. You know, they're kind of all in the same.
I could be wrong, but if I was betting money.
I think Plant's athletic. He's a little more athletic than those guys. And maybe
he has
a little more grit to him.
But here's the thing. Caleb Smith got that height and reach,
and he really
fight on the outside very well. Caleb Smith, I think Caleb Smith was having problems making weight. I think he took the fight on short notice. I'm not saying he would have ever beat Canelo. That wasn't the best version of Caleb Smith. But he went the distance, right? I don't think Caleb Plant goes past seven rounds. I think he gets stopped in six rounds by Canelo.
Yeah.
I really do.
I can see that.
Because Saunders, I think, has better footwork than Plant. Plant doesn't move a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely better defensively than Plant. I think that Saunders is better defensively. Yeah.
Southpaw, he's a lot more slick and craftier than Plant.
Okay.
I think his style is more difficult. It's just my opinion. You could disagree if you want. I watched Plant fight Uzgatake, and he looked very uncomfortable in a lot of spots in that fight. You know, give him credit for, but he was fading towards the end, and you could tell that pressure was bothering him. Got off to a good start, but he was fading second half of that fight.
Agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Callum Smith and Billy Joe Saunders were the two that I thought would give Canelo the most problems. And he walked right through both of those guys. I mean, those fights weren't even close, especially Billy Joe Saunders. That one really surprised me. But he completely walked right through them. So, you know, I like to think that Plant could put up a fight, could make things a little bit different. But I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. Canelo's walked through everybody.
And
so,
even though Eddie's not involved promotionally, he's still advising Canelo behind the scenes right now on this whole situation. They have a good working relationship.
And what's the big deal if you lose to Canelo, the best pound-for-pound fighter right now, period? There's no shame in that. You could still come back from that.
Your brand is going to be bigger as long as you have a decent fight. I mean, when Canelo fought Floyd, was he ready for that fight? No.
Right.
Was he competitive? No. I scored that 120-108. But it it kind of was a symbolic passing of the torch. It was Floyd bringing Canelo up to his level, and Canelo has improved dramatically since then, and now he's the new guy. So, you know, is Plant going to become the new face of boxing? Or no? No, of course not. But his brand would go up. Go if he could at least get to the late rounds, and win a couple rounds.
I was just going to say that, Mike.
Yeah. You're right?
You don't even have to win. You don't have to win. You just have to go.
Win a couple of rounds. Land a couple of big shots. That's all you got to do.
If he goes past eight, maybe wins three rounds.
Yeah. With two or three rounds, put a couple of hard shots on Canelo. Say, oh, man, I was having trouble making the weight. It was a short camp. I got COVID. I was working that off. Then you do the pay-per-view with Benavidez. Then you get, you know, bigger dollars there. And then, you know, you're done. You could go to 75 and do a couple more fights and call it a day. Pretty easy. That's how I'd advise him, but he's not getting that kind of advice.
I'm gonna pretend I'm in the room and I'm like hiding in the corner listening to the discussion. Right? This is Heyman and Deku was talking to Plant. You can't go over there, man. You're gonna get no back end over there. They're gonna take advantage of you over there.
They're gonna kill you. They're gonna
stick with us. Yeah. We got
take all
you
your
this
money
far.
Over there. You know, they're ripping everyone off over there.
Stick with us. We got you this far. That's one fight. We got a whole future planned ahead for you. That's one fight. You know, $10 million, you could blow through that fast. We're going to give you a steady flow of money, We're going to give you more than one fight that'll carry you into your later years. We're giving you a future. That's what they're telling.
A retirement. And here's the money right now.
That's a big buzzword. Retirement.
That's what they're telling them.
We're going to set you up.
We're going to give you a kid's retirement.
We're
going to
give them the Don King speech.
$10 million.
But this is malpractice, what they're doing right now. This is
being defended, dude. Have you looked on boxing Twitter and YouTube? They're defending this.
Oh, sure
this
they are.
This is the epitome of the Ali Act being violated right now.
Yeah.
Because they are putting their company before this fighter. He's an advisor, but he's looking out for Heyman Boxing LLC, because he does not want to lose that box deal.
I don't know how you could argue against that, B, because, again,
it's as simple as that.
Well, it's the math of it. When a dude's made not even $1 million, all right, and he's going to get $10 million, and you're not making that fight happen somehow, how are you advising your fighter? You know, everyone always talks about Heyman's fight. And this isn't to beat up on Heyman. He does a lot of great things. He has taken care of a lot of fighters. And PBC has had some great fights. Charlo Castaño, how about that? That was an outstanding fight.
Yeah.
Complete unification of a division. But in this particular instance, and there's a track record of this, we can point to several instances. Dude, this guy could more than 10 times the amount of his career high payday, and you're not going to make it happen against the premier attraction in the sport.
And there's
it just doesn't make sense.
No way he can make that kind of money anywhere else, against anyone else. Benavidez is the biggest guy over there that he could fight. The biggest guy, bar none, over there, money-wise, that he could fight. And that is going to come nowhere close.
Not even half.
Not even close.
We have to address Chakal's comment in the chat. If you can push that up where he's talking about the injury clause, Eric.
Let me see here. Is that the one where he says Canelo is the one to blame? Okay.
That's what Coppinger is leading us to believe. That was a diversionary tactic was put out there by some PBC employee that was talking to Coppinger, and it was designed.
That texted him and said, "Hey, give me a call."
I'm not gonna lie. I ran with that for about a day until I started talking to some other people. So I fell for the okie doke, guilty. I fell for it too. But then I got this. Alvarez also was extended a two-fight deal that included a stay-busy fight in December in his native Mexico, sources say. And you read that article with the Plant quotes. Plant never said that multi-fight deal was taken off the table. So as I said, it went from 3 to 2. That was the compromise. It was never a one-fight deal. Never. They're going to hold on to that. So I was with you, Chakal, with all due respect. I'm not trying to call you out. Because I fell for it too. Not insulting you in any way. I fell for it too. Guilty. But then I started getting these texts from people, and I started getting screenshots of quotes you know, and I know what it's the multi-fight deal. That's what blew this fight up.
There's more to it than that, even. But that is
it wasn't only one fight.
But that article that Cop put up, it just lists a bunch of things that Caleb Plant's side already agreed to. So those aren't sticking points.
Right.
So why are you even going there? Why is that even important, right? I thought it was very one-sided. And to defend Cop, he didn't get to talk to Canelo, but at least mentioned in that same article, we didn't get to talk to Canelo. We didn't hear from his side. There were demands that they acquiesced to as well, including it has to be on Fox. I mean, at least mention that shit. It was so one-sided that's right away when I knew, okay, this was, hey, Cop, I got something for you. Give me a call. It was one of those.
That was a PR move.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, these kids on YouTube and shit, they don't understand how this stuff works. They don't. You've worked in the media. You understand how these things happen, right?
Yeah.
How you get somebody. So literally, my phone will buzz a few times a day. I'll get a text. Hey, give me a call, Mike. I got something for you. Blah, blah, blah. That's usually somebody looking to get some info out, right? You got to be really careful with those texts and those messages because you got to, like, be careful. You got to ask, why am I being contacted by this person? What's the objective here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing.
So
no,
that's it.
Lorenzo, I don't know what you're being told, but I've been told by about three people that multi-fight deal is not off the table. And I'm not going to put Mike on the spot, but I'm sure he's had some conversations too. I'm not going to try to put him on the spot. But we know that there's more. We've been saying that it's not the injury clause. It's not. That is not the sticking point here.
No. So.
Not.
Mike, I know you got to be out of here in just a few minutes. I just want to ask you one quick question about the COVID stuff. So we got fighters dropping left and right, Gerald Washington, Conor Benn, both those fights, COVID. Is there anything the promoters can do? Why aren't the promoters, I mean, who put – and the Teofimo especially, I heard Triller lost like $5 million, it was being reported.
Yeah,
with
they lost
promotion
yeah.
and this and that on that fight. That's why they wanted to take it to Australia. Can't they just mandate and say, hey, look, if you want to fight in this promotion, you're going to get vaccinated. That's that. You and all your people.
I don't see why they couldn't contractually. I do know this. There have been fighters that have been advised. If they haven't been vaccinated already, there are times where medical personnel have advised the fighter, don't get vaccinated during camp. If you're already in camp, getting especially the two-shot one, that could mess up your camp. Because people react differently to it. Some people, the first shot bothers them more. A lot of people, it's the second shot. And that could, like, take you off the road for a week where you can't do road work or something
right.
like that. So some of these guys are being advised, literally by medical people,
sure.
to wait until after the fight. The issue is, why didn't these guys get vaccinated months ago
right.
before they signed for a fight? But you know what? In fairness, there are some people with the vaccine that are getting the Delta variant.
Well,
apparently it doesn't protect from that. So I'm no medical expert, but
yeah. And I heard you're not going to get it as bad, but if you got it,
you're right. Right.
If you got it and you didn't get the vaccine and you lost all this, I have zero sympathy for that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I don't get that. I don't for these promoters that are losing money, guys, get your heads out of
the contract. Look, we just had a global pandemic that shut down the entire sports world, not just boxing,
sure.
but it really, really hurt boxing because this is a sport where there's not a set schedule or a set league mandating everything. So it really, really hurt boxing. The promoters could write verbiage into these contracts to protect themselves, okay? I take people at their word when they say that they have COVID, but I do know that sometimes it can be a convenient excuse to push a fight back when it's not selling very well.
Yeah.
Right. And the Wilder Fury fight, the tickets were selling well. But there have with the Lopez Cambosis fight and all that, there's just a few of these fights where it keeps coming up. They have to do something in these contracts, in these deals to protect themselves because this is not going away. COVID's here to stay. It's going to be here for years and years and years.
Yeah. I mean,
there's going to be other variants, right? Delta's not the last variant.
It's going to be like the flu where you got
exactly
1,000 different variants before it's all said and done.
Right.
You know?
So there's going to come a point where fighters will have COVID and fight with it. Like, it could happen. It really could happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what's happening, too? Is like they get in the first shot, they feel like shit, and then they hear people tell you, oh, this ain't really going to protect you 100% anyways.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that
going on.
I heard people that got the first shot and then someone started putting, you know, propaganda in the air, and they're like, "Oh, I'm not going to get the second shot. I don't want to get it. This could hurt me." Like, there's a lot of anti-vaccine,
of course,
you know, talk going on out there, and people are really diminishing, the safety of the vaccine and all this and that, and people just don't want to get it. Not everyone wants to get it.
Well, it's, look, if you're a fighter going into a fight, into a contract negotiation, right, you can demand VADA testing. Why can't you demand a vaccine? Say, I'm not going to fight a dude unless he's vaccinated.
Right.
At some point, that's coming. There's going to be a fighter out there that's going to make that first demand. Maybe it'll be Canelo or so. There's going to be somebody, an A-side, who can flex their muscle like that. But you know it's coming.
Yeah. So. Well, that second shot, that second COVID shot, that's where they inject that microchip in you so they can track you. So that, that's why people don't want
aliens to watch you. Yeah.
Mike, we got the infrastructure for that,
Right.
Should people be questioning whether or not Fury has COVID or not? I mean, how could they even pull that off? If they
he could have just said
I sprained an ankle or I tore a ligament or something. I mean, why would they go through such lengths to use COVID as an excuse? There's so many other ways he could have used to get out of the fight,
It's hard for me to think that there was this massive hoax that the commission was in on and all these doctors. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of moving parts, man. But come on, there's people out there that think Sasquatch is real, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know he's not. I've never seen it. I don't know that's not true,
Harry and the Hendersons, man. Remember that show?
Hello,
You could get away with anything in the 80s. There was a show about Sasquatch living in a house. And
Alf, you remember Alf with the alien living the thing? Yeah.
Had eight stomachs or whatever. Yeah. And there's half the people in chat, like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, right.
But, anyway.
Oh, tangent. Man. All right, man. Well, we're going to get you out of here. I know you got stuff to do.
I got another show to do,
absolutely, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to do this
thanks
thing together,
Mike.
Man.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good one.
Hey, you too, right, man. Fellas. Thank you.
You good.
And make sure to go to YouTube and catch Mike Montero and his show and everything like that on YouTube. It's called The Neutral Corner. So go catch him on YouTube, man. He's got a great show over there. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Before we go back to the phones and before we finish the fights and all that other good stuff, we have a new sponsor, Beeb. You're excited about this, aren't you? I'm excited about it, baby. I'm excited,
already,
baby.
When I told all the honey dips that we have this first sponsor, they're like, okay, you're going to be nice and ready for me when it comes time.
Is that what they said?
Nice and prepped up. You're going to be nice and prepped up for me when it's that time.
Nice and prepped up. What's the matter with you?
Sorry, I
have. Oh my goodness! All right, so we are being brought to you by Manscaped. How about that? Look at that, our new sponsor. Look at that shiny new sponsor.
That's right.
There it is. You guys can get 20% off the promo code using the promo code Ringside Reporter. All right. Let's see here. Support for Ringside Reporter is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Beeb, you've had a chance to work with this?
I'm telling you right now, girls are already happy that I got this thing.
Love it. Love
it.
The Tinder ladies love Beeb now. The Lawnmower 4.0, you just heard that right, the 4.0. 2 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off free worldwide shipping with code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. And remember, RingsideReporter, one word. All right, just imagine shaving with the sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm one of the first people to try the new Lawnmower 4.0, and I am blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Manscaped engineered the ultimate body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and incredibly comfortable grooming. Their fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce the grooming accidents, Beeb. They're reducing the accidents with skin-safe technology. I now feel confident shaving below the waist. A new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel. Beeb, I know you're all over the place, going
right
from fight to fight, everywhere. Beeb Industries, they got the jet.
Right.
Beeb likes to take it with him, baby.
Lebanese people are hairy, too, so we got to take it.
There it is. Count me as one of the count Beeb and me as one of those people for when the pandemic is over. The upgraded trimmer also gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED light. This is like a flashlight. On and off when you need a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. Did I mention the wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. Take your time, fellas. Manscaped has you covered. Let's be honest. If you're still shaving your face and body with the same trimmer, you're doing it wrong. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Boost your confidence with this new trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time with a smooth shave. 20% off plus free shipping with the code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. Again, 20% free shipping, manscaped.com. Use the code RingsideReporter and unlock your confidence with the new 4.0 lawnmower. Beebe, how awesome is that?
Well, you want to talk about accidents? They ain't going to happen with me. I'm like a surgeon with that thing, man. I don't make mistakes.
It really is, right? I mean,
I don't make mistakes with that thing, man. No. I'm like a surgeon.
So what does Lois think about all this? She likes it, right?
I gave myself a mohawk the other day with that thing. It's beautiful.
What's the matter with you? How dare you? It's a family show.
Guys, we got 70 people in this chat, okay? I want 70 likes right now.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, and we need you guys to help. You guys want us to be here. You guys want us to, you know, I need some support. I need some emotional support. I need some financial support. I need you to go to Manscaped, baby. I need you to get 20% off a Ringside Reporter, all right? I need you to do this for me. I never ask you for anything. Do you? I come here. We come here. Beeb's doing shows every week. You know, I'm cracking the whip on Beeb. I said, turn it out. Turn out more shows, son. Beeb said, okay, he's going to do it. And we get nothing? Come on. At least give us some life. Go to Manscaped. Give us some love. Stop it. Just do it, right? Beeb, let him know.
Give us some goddamn likes. And Hamid's laughing over here, but someone just did give us a couple dislikes, okay? Because of you, Hamid.
How dare you people.
Don't even kid around like that, Hamid. Please.
How dare you people give us some dislikes?
As soon as you said that, we just got 2 dislikes. Cut it out.
Unreal. I bet it was Kevin in Chicago. I want you to bet it was Kevin in Chicago.
I bet you Hamid created 2 ghost accounts and gave us 2 dislikes. See?
Oh, man, please. What are you doing?
Please, Hamid.
Hit the dislike button,
nice
guys. How dare you?
How dare you? Killing me.
You know, we could fire up the jet and be in London, not in no time over there, son. Work you over?
I mean, please.
Come on. All right. So let's talk about it. We talked about Vito Minnecke. Joey Spencer was on the undercard there. He beat James Martin. Joey Spencer apparently came in overweight as well, Beeb. And what's going on with this man? Like, he came in overweight. His guy didn't want to fight him. And now the guy, you know, I don't know how it works.
These are young kids, man. It's high, you know, these kids, they like to party.
They like to party, man, I guess. So Joey Spencer fought James Martin, and that was impressive because Joey Spencer used his jab all night, beat James Martin unanimous 80-72 and 79-73 twice. Joey Spencer looked really good last night. A lot of people are hating on his performance. I thought he looked great. I really did. I thought he looked really good last night. And then the FS1, Andre Durrell versus Christopher Booker. Durrell beats Booker by a TKO in the third round. Not much to say here. It's kind of went every way the way we expected it to go. So, you know, it is what it is. Let's talk about the zone fight real quick. Zukon versus Lee Wood for the WBA featherweight title. Lee Wood wins via TKO over Zukon in the 12th round. With just seconds left, he becomes the new WBA featherweight champion. I tell you what, let me go to the phones real quick, B, before we break anything down here. Let's go to, 805. 805, you're live. We've got a lot of people on hold here, so let's go with that.
Hey, what's up, guys? Are we going to do the
Jesus Christ,
trivia
you
challenge
get
today? Or...
Hi, Nacho. How you doing, buddy?
Nacho.
All right.
Big rematch is going to be booted till next week. All right, you got to call in next week, and we'll do it then.
All right.
I've already filed a protest. You know why? Because I'm on camera answering these questions. You're not on camera. I already talked to my legal team. You could be Googling the answers because you're not on camera, and no one can see you.
Wow.
Are we really going this far?
Injunctions.
Are we really
you
going
got that
far?
Little sneak, that little sneak
are you paradigm
to the left of me over there?
Are you paradigm sports?
Texting
Steve?
You the answers.
You're trying to sue me like there's
you
some Manny Pacquiao right now?
You can
really?
Use Google. Google next week and I'm going to beat you. You go ahead and use Google. You can get freaking Alexa, Google. You can get,
my
you can get
goodness.
Your phone down and answer the question for you. I'm not even afraid anymore.
Beeb's going to be like Vito Malecki when it shows up next week. He's going to pull out for some technicality or something like that. He's been wanting this rematch for years, and he's going
to
pull out on the technicality.
Right. Yeah.
Then Beeb's
going to get the rematch
Beeb's
on any circuit.
Pull a fury.
I'm not going to be like Plant.
Beeb's going to pull
I'm not
a fury.
Be like Plant.
Just real quick, guys, about the fights. Yeah, that whole Fox card was really bizarre, how guys just fell out and they had to come up with last-minute replacements and everything. You know, Spencer, I'm just not sold on that kid. I don't know what it is about him. I don't think he's all that great. To be honest, I think the two prospects...
You see the way he handled James Martin last night?
What is wrong with
the
you?
Did you watch
I think
the
two
fight?
Prospects,
what do you want this guy to
yes,
do?
Yes, I did.
Jesus.
What do you want him to drop his pants and fire a
prospects.
Rocket? What else did he do in the ring?
Beep, listen to me.
That was
the
hot.
Two best prospects
that
they got at 147 at 147 are Stanionis and Jesus Ramos. I just don't think that kid's on their level at this point. They all have about the same number of fights, and I'm sorry. I just don't see it. And
you keep drinking
don't.
A Haterade, Notch.
I'd hate, to be your son. I'd hate to be your son playing T-ball and strike out one
boy,
time.
Boy, could you imagine the beating Nacho would give him
you
then?
Would put me up, you would put me up for adoption. Your expectations
oh
are
goodness.
Just too high. They're too
oh
high.
Oh, my God.
Wow. The guy run the table
okay.
on him, man. He won every round. Come on.
Yeah,
I
but just the,
it,
the performance wasn't anything where
really
you were like, okay, like, you know.
He
well,
was
anyway.
Fighting a good guy. The guy beat Nomeki last was, time.
No, I know. I'm not saying he fought some stiff.
Wow.
They just brought him off the street. I'm sorry. I just don't see it, Eric. I don't know what it is, but I
wow.
don't see it.
Just drinking
that's
a Haterade, boy. By the
and
gallon,
then,
son.
With Milnecki, that kid was overmatched that he fought last night. That kid had no business
yeah.
being in the ring with him. You could see it right away. I mean, it's a good win for him as far as, like, getting his confidence back.
Good confidence
but,
win.
Hopefully they'll get him some better opposition for sure, his next fight. And then with the Coffey and Rice, Coffey looked like a guy who started to believe his own hype, and he literally was just throwing one left-handed bomb after another, hoping to land the home run shot on Rice. And Rice just took him apart, just jabbed him, hit him with right hands, hooks to the body and the head, and he just gradually took over the fight and took the guy apart. And what was kind of interesting was at the very end when he literally landed three right hands to Coffey's head, and you can see Coffey was about to go down. He was buckled and he was hurt. And then the ref jumps in and stops the fight. Then he starts protesting like he thought he was still in the fight. I was like, dude, come on. You were about to get laid out if he let him.
Yeah, he was getting laid out, son.
Yeah, he was going to get laid out. So that's a huge win for Rice. I have a feeling that PBC is probably going to try to make a rematch because I'm sure Coffey will say something about, like, oh, I didn't get a chance to prepare. Or he'll come up with some reason as to why he was off last night. So I have a feeling
he can come up
he'll
with 50. He can't block a right hand. He can come up with
no,
50. It doesn't
true.
Matter. He's going to get hit over and over with that right hand. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine that if people in the corner didn't say, hey, you know, why don't you put your hand up so you don't get hit?
Yeah,
you know?
Or move your head at least. Yeah, like, yeah, it was crazy how he was just getting hit over and over with the same shot. And then with the other fight with Khan and Wood, I mean, I was totally unexpected that one. Like, that's a shocker. Lee Wood, to me, was just kind of a guy. And I thought that this was going to be just a stay busy fight for Khan. But man, you got to give the kid credit. He went out there, he stuck to his game plan. He boxed him all night, you know, hit him with combos. And then eventually at the end, dropped him and stopped him, which is a shocker. I mean, is this a bigger upset, guys, than the Warrington Lara fight for upset of the year this year?
Well, what are the odds? I sent, let me see what the odds were. I sent Eric the odds.
Yeah, what were those?
Coffee was a -2,000. Rice was a +750. So very comparable to that fight.
Oh, no, I was talking about Wood Khan.
Oh, that day.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking about Wood and Khan.
Let me see. Yeah, I apologize. I have the odds for that, so give me a second. Yeah, they weren't that great. Zhu Khan was a -340. Leewood was a +270. Wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
All right, guys. Yeah, it was. It was a good fight, but, yeah, Khan just looked like he was out of his he was made uncomfortable,
he
and he never
flat,
got on track. Yeah, he did.
He just didn't look like
a guy who was sharp. Yeah. I think all the time off hurt him.
That was a great.
Yeah.
How many rounds did you have him winning up to that point? I think I only gave him 2 rounds in that fight.
I was
going to
say,
Beeb,
I think I might have scored 3 for Khan, to be honest.
Okay.
I thought it
was
a lopsided
fight. That was a very wide fight.
Yeah. I thought Wood was easily winning that fight. So, yeah, I don't think I gave Khan more than 3 rounds, to be honest. So.
Yeah, the judges had it. The judges had it 107-102, 107-102 twice, and 106-103 going. They all had Lee Wood up, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, Nacho, we're gonna get moving, man.
I'll
next week, you got your
next
time
week.
Next week, man. Yeah, he's calling
next
ready. Week. Ripping you, son. Ripping you.
Okay, get ready, man. You're gonna get the floor mopped with you next week.
Oh, stop.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
From Rikers.
Georgie, I missed you, man. How you been?
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? How's the spirit, guys?
What's going on?
What's happening, Georgie?
I'm so happy today, even though we got this delay in this fucking fight. It seems that Greed once again cut blocking your fights, huh?
I agree with you, Georgie. I agree with you.
Because we're looking for some type of fucking, some type of somebody to put the blame on, a scapegoat, but we always ended up in the same shit, greed. Doesn't matter who is it, Alves, Canelo, same shit, again. Oh, my God, got to laugh about that. Yo, you know what the CDC came out saying today?
What'd they say?
They saying that doesn't matter if you got the first vaccine, both dose, and the fucking booster shot, the variant's still not going to be stopped. This variant, they're not even going to talk about the next one coming up. Talking about this one here. They cannot stop it. We're probably going to end it up closing again.
No, I don't think they're going to close again. I don't think they're going to close again. I think this just numbers are going to go up. But there's the good thing about this is there's like less not many people not as many people dying as the first round because they know more about it. The shots are taking care of a lot of that. So I don't know.
If anything, and this is just my opinion, I don't have any. I'm not a medical professional. I do think the vaccine must help with the symptoms. It has to do something.
Has to.
Plus, I got the antibodies too because I had it in November. I don't know.
You like Superman. Got the antibodies and the shot. You're like the Man of Steel,
saying
baby.
Saying that it doesn't help. Listen, saying that it doesn't help, that's a mistrue. Obviously, it helps. Now, you ain't got no motherfucking silver bullet against it. Plus, you're going to let your guard down because you so-called immune on your eyes, and you're going to be a super spreader infecting that shit to everybody else. So it's like Montero's running away. Eventually, this guy's going to fight with the Kobe. There's no other way around it.
Thank you so much, Aaron Daly. We appreciate it. There it is. Aaron Daly says, whenever Georgie or Jason call in, I have to super chat the show. Aaron Daly, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, my man.
Yo, shout out to Wingy Boxing. Shout out to Wingy Boxing. We're waiting for the return of the king. Let it be known.
He's back. He's back. Where you been? That's why he's locked up at Rikers. He gets the news late over there.
He's doing podcasts again.
Where you been?
I was on a podcast.
I know, baby, but we got
on a podcast.
We got to get Wingy here. Like, we get Montero once in a while and shit like that.
Oh,
you
got
to
get him on. It's a big time difference. I know, like, you may not know this, but yeah, it happens. Like where we're in the time zone and he's in a different time zone, so
well,
trying to meet up, it's, you know.
Well, come on. You already said he's tomorrow.
Eric,
right?
I was educated
so
outside the United States. I know that I'm more. You guys educated here in the United States, so don't put your fucking bull-ass education next to mine when Paul, you speak three different languages. Chill.
You speak three different languages? You have trouble speaking one. What are you talking about?
Please, Georgie.
We're going to have to get this mathematics straight. We're going to have to get that straight, buddy. But anyways, I don't have a lot to say. Everybody out there, you know, donate. Make sure you visit Manscaped, the new sponsor. And see you next call.
All right, Georgie. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to, I think, let's see here. Robert's on the line. Chacal's on the line. We're going to get to them in just a few minutes here. Let's go to 773-773. You're live.
Oh, man, I got to say, I feel bad for all those fools who got the vaccine, and they're still getting the COVID. They got the vaccine, and they still get the COVID. Now there's a variant.
The vaccine, you get flu shots, and you can still get the flu.
I don't get the flu shots.
Oh, my God. You're probably going to, like, die of polio or something like that.
You fools. Come on. Anyways, let's talk about the man of the hour, Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant didn't bend the knee like all the other fighters did, just going along with the program. He flipped the script, and he's marching to the beat of his own drum, a.k.a. Al Haymon. How about that?
Do you think it was a smart move to turn down $10 million? I mean, where else is he going to get that kind of money? Except maybe hitting the lotto.
Beat up for $700,000. Keep milking that.
Yeah, that's not $10 million, though. That's quite a difference, though.
Got to beat up 13 of those.
Got to beat up 13 cab drivers.
If he goes in there and he
that'll take him 6 years.
If he goes out there and gets destroyed by Canelo, the game is up. Time to throw away the chessboard. How about that?
All right, so he'll fight for 6 more years and get that $10 million. That's fine.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's hoping,
you know,
he doesn't get injured.
I say he can fight Daniel Jacobs and get a decent payday, $1.5 million.
He ain't gonna
like
get
that.
He ain't gonna come close to $10 million, son. And nobody he fights will come
million
close to
half,
$10 million.
Very winnable fight against Jacobs.
Is that better? It's a very winnable fight. It's not a guarantee though.
If I owned a company and you walked through the door, my eyes would light up, man, because I know I can get you for half price.
Right.
I get you for half price.
Yeah,
I'll probably get you for a third of the price.
You ain't slicking me, babe. So I'm going to say this, my final point. Another weekend of MMA destroying boxing. Had good UFC fights on, good Bellator fights on, and boxing
was trash
fight? As usual. I watched
that UFC. Is it Anthony McKee? Man, he destroyed that guy.
That's
a beast, son.
Yeah. Right, sir, not to mention that dude Strickland who went out there put a beating on Dry Hall. He looks good. He's got good boxing. What do you think of his performance? He's got a nice jab in terms of boxing technique. I know you guys love your boxing.
Who's got a nice jab?
Did you see the main event, the UFC main event yesterday?
Oh, you talking about Strickland?
Strickland
and Hall? Yeah, that was a pretty good, yeah. He's good. Strickland's really good. But he doesn't have, I never liked to do like MMA guys and boxing guys as far as their stand-up goes, because it's just two different things.
Yeah, I can see that. Only thing is,
two
you
different
rarely
techniques.
See someone utilize a good jab in MMA. It's usually big overhand rights and things of that nature. But it was refreshing to see someone in the guard utilize a jab, stick and move, footwork.
Right.
And that seemed to be his game plan. So that was nice to see. Other than that, I watched the highlights of that dude, the British dude, knock out the Chinese guy. Was this Chinese guy a big prospect or something?
Chinese guy.
What a fire. What are you laughing, Eric? It's funny. It's xenophobic.
The British dude and the Chinese dude, they were fighting, you know. It just tickled me.
All right, I'll leave you guys to it. We got gig going.
All right, Kevin, we're
going to
get running, man. All right, man. We'll talk to you. This is the Chinese guy. You know, the Chinese guy that just fought, you know?
That's crazy.
760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's happening? This is Brian.
Brian,
Sally King.
You told him that fight wasn't going to happen?
What fight?
I tried to tell him,
You tried to tell him. The plant fight?
I told you, Eric, man. Get that pie ready.
Did we pie bet that one?
Yeah, we pie bet.
Don't play me, pay me.
Yeah, he's trying to weasel out of it.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Eric, look, I feel
I'm a very
bad,
high-ranking
man,
official in Beeb Industries. I don't know if I can take a pie, Beeb.
You took the bet, Eric. Look, I feel bad that you got to do it, man, because this is what boxing has come to, man. But you're going to have to take that pie.
Okay. But?
He's got 4 months left.
Well, that's true. Because until they sign different contracts, but one of them has got to sign different contracts before I take that pie.
That is
if I take
true,
the pie
but,
and then it goes
no.
back on next week, I'm going to feel like an idiot.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So we can wait. We can wait a little bit. We got to wait a little
we
bit.
We can wait on it. Yeah. I appreciate that.
We can wait on it. But, you know, it seems to be official, though, you know, that fight is official.
Yeah,
off, so.
What it sounded like. That's what it sounded
man,
like.
You
know,
I told you, Eric, man, it's always a letdown when it comes to boxing, man. That's the whole problem. And the whole thing is it's starting to be to where I'm getting used to it. You know what I'm saying? Here we go again. You know, it's kind of like boxing is like the stuff that don't make sense. It makes sense in boxing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it would make sense for Canelo and Caleb Plant to fight, and then they don't fight. Now we're playing the blame game. That's the usual. You know what I'm saying? And that's become the norm in boxing, man. I hate it. I actually wanted to lose this bet. Man, I bought like a good pie, too. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, this wasn't I telling you this fight was getting close?
Yeah, man.
With Caleb Plant.
You were screenshotting me pies when you were walking by bakeries. I remember.
I really
shows how much I
was
into
it.
I don't remember the bet, you know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't remember the ones I lose.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember it neither if I lost. I wouldn't remember. You know, usually when you lose a bet, that's when you don't remember that shit. What's that? What you talking about? What money? You trying to D-bone me? No, D-bone, no.
Georgie had to show me the video or I bet him on the Nakatani fight because I forgot about it, too.
Yeah. It's an easy show.
Yeah,
Beeb
was
always
demanding video. I love how Beeb was demanding video because he didn't think
he
had to pull
the
video.
He wanted
the
evidence. I don't blame him.
We already got the video on you. Don't worry. We already got the video.
You already got it drawn on me?
No, we already got the video on you, man. It's already on TMZ.
Hey, look, man, Eric, one more thing. Man, this ain't got nothing to do with boxing.
You got it already, man.
Man, you always... Eric, man, look, you always talking shit, man, because I bought Beeb a shirt.
Oh,
that ain't no gay shit. Okay?
What's
it ain't gay, homie.
Because you send Beeb shirts?
Because I bought Beeb a shirt. Let me tell you why I bought
a shirt.
Let me tell you, man, why I bought Beeb the shirt.
Beeb, you buy other guys' clothes?
Look, tell him,
Beeb.
This is the shirt he bought me, man. You can't disrespect that.
Show it to him,
you can't disrespect this shirt.
I just
did. Show it to him. That's the Gypsy King, homie. But look, Eric.
Do you like the way the shirt fits me? Did you buy him the right size?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you like the way it
fits
across his chest and stuff?
Bought him a shirt too, man. We're homies, man. We take care of each other.
But you guys manscape each other? What are you guys doing?
As long as he got Tyson Fury on there represent, that's the true Tyson Fury stance.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Ryan, you know
Look,
what?
Look, man.
Hold on, let me tell him.
Yo, listen to Dude, hold on. Let me tell him. Eric, I had to get him the shirt because he got me a shirt, Ringside Reporter shirt. He bought me one for free.
Wow. So you guys buying each other clothes, huh?
Hey, man, look, man. How about this?
You bought Eric, Nacho one.
See,
you
Eric,
bought Nacho one.
Eric,
Ringside Reporter shirt.
I ain't buying nothing.
Look, man, I see the shirt you rocking right now, homie. Look, man, I could change. Look, bro, I'll send you a gang of California T-shirts. I'll even put on there California title town for you. How about that? I'll send you California shirts. You can take all of your shirts and throw them away because they ain't no good.
Do it. Oh, that's cold. That's cold.
Wow.
You had to take it there, huh? That's mean.
Hey, so, okay, back to boxing, man. So, oh my God, man. What's going to happen with Canelo and what's going to happen with Caleb Plant from here? Who these guys going to fight next?
Danny Jacobs, Plant's going to fight either Danny Jacobs or he's going to move up and fight Benavidez. Who knows? I mean, but the thing is, like, none of those fights are going to – I mean, he's got nothing in front of him. You know what I mean? Canelo's going to go and fight – he's got a billion people in front of him. He's going to fight Bivol. He's got Better Beav up there. He's going to move up in weight.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So there's – and he's going to make 20, 30 million on those fights.
Right.
So,
because,
I didn't agree
with the whole – the injury clause or whatever they put into the contract, but at the same time too, I'm like, man, you know, these fighters, they just got to take their careers into their own hands and be like, hey man, make this happen, just make it happen, just roll the dice and just make it happen, you know what I'm saying? Because man, he just missed the opportunity right here, man. I think Caleb Plant, I don't know, Beeb, I kind of disagree with you, man. I think that Caleb Plant, I think he might be a better boxer than B.J. Saunders. That's my opinion.
I mean,
I think
maybe,
he could have put up a pretty decent fight with Canelo.
It's open, and he might have a better style matchup against Canelo than B.J. Saunders.
I mean,
but
I
now we're going to find out. So,
yeah, it's my
But,
it's
yeah,
my
we
opinion,
ain't,
but, I mean,
and
it's
see, that's the
debate.
Whole thing. Ain't even no point in talking about it because it ain't even going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And that's how boxing keeps us all day, every day, like fantasy football.
Yeah.
Fantasy fights, man.
That's exactly it.
But, you know, all in all, Eric, oh, man, you might still have to give me that pie bet. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry this had to happen to you, man. But stop believing
in
it. Hey,
if I bet it, I'll do it. You know me, man. I'll pay it up.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. Hey, well, I'll let you guys go, man. You know, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe I conveniently forgot about that, Beeb. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here, and then we'll go back to the lines. Let's see here. This is on August 3rd, Beeb. I don't know why they decided to put this fight on, a Tuesday? It's on Fight TV, and if you pay the $100 a month subscription fee to Triller, you can get this fight also. How much is Triller? What is it, like $30 a month or something stupid?
That's $30 a month.
Oh, it's ridiculous, right? Come on, stop
buying it.
Yeah, and if you subscribe, the $30 a month gets you this high-powered card right here, Fight TV.
Yeah.
Michael Hunter versus Mike Wilson. This is on Tuesday the 3rd. 12 rounds of the heavyweight eliminator. Chris Algieri making his return against Mikel LePierre. 10 rounds welterweight. And Eric Walker versus Ivan Golub. 10 rounds welterweight. Yeah, it's a stunning card there. One highlight I will mention is Christina Cruz is on that card, and that's HCP, Hispanics Causing Panics. Then they interviewed her, right?
Yeah, I was there.
That was a great interview. It was a great interview, yeah.
Thank you.
And she's going to be fighting on that card, but she's on the first she's like jerking the curtain on that card, so I don't know if she's actually going to be televised or not. I mean,
I'm going to ask her if she's going to be televised, because if she's going to be televised, I'll buy it just
you
for
You support
her.
It, absolutely, absolutely.
I support her. She's a great person.
Yeah, she's a very good girl, man.
I'll buy it for her.
August 6th, Belfast, Northern Ireland on ESPN+, Plus. Michael Conlon versus TJ Doheny, 10 rounds junior featherweights, Zankosh Turovov versus Tyrone McKenna, 10 rounds junior welterweights, Lee McGregor versus Vincent Legrand, 12 rounds bantamweights. Not exactly a murderer's row there. The main event, Michael Conlon and Donahue, is going to be pretty good, but everything else, I don't know. And the 7th, August 7th, Minneapolis on Fox, Cody Crowley versus Gabriel Mastre, 12 rounds for the WBA interim welterweight title. And then August 7th, I guess that's Saturday, Brentwood, England on DAZN. This is the fight. To me, this is the fight of the weekend right here. Kid Galahad versus Jazza Dickens, 12 rounds for the vacant IBF featherweight title. And that's the Warrington's title, wasn't it? It was the Warrington's title?
I believe so, yep.
And he just went ahead and rather than rematch Kid Galahad, says, no, you can have it.
That's right, crazy.
There you go. Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know right there.
That was a horrible move, but
yeah, wasn't well.
I guess hindsight is 20/20.
He knows he didn't win that first fight, so what's he going to do? You know. So to me, that's the fight of the weekend right there. Ebony Bridges is also on that card, so I'll be glued to the set. Her versus Beck Conley. Don't know the number of rounds yet. The rounds are still TBA. Let's see, Fabio Wardley versus Nick Webb, 10 rounds heavyweights. Alan Bobick versus Mark Bennett, 8 rounds heavyweight. So some good action on there, some good action. So there you go. Tulsa, get this now, 2 weeks on ESPN, ESPN Plus. There's a card in Tulsa headlining Joshua Franco versus Andrew Maloney for Franco's WBA regular junior bantamweight title, but it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So guess who's on that card? Trey Lippe Morrison versus the TBA 6 rounds heavyweight. So there you go. We talk about Morrison a lot lately, man. So there it is. Let's see here. The news and rumors. Don't have much news before we go back to the phones here. ESPN and Top Rank announced that Christina Poncher will be the blow-by-blow commentator for ESPN Plus fights. Feed, good? No good?
I like Christina Poncher a lot. She's cool. I think she had I think she's very informative. She's level-headed. I like her.
She's just okay for me. I'd rather have her than Tim Bradley, put it that way. But I think Tessitore, who you like better, Tessitore or Poncher?
I like Poncher because Tessitore is too much of a fanboy.
Wow, how dare you?
Wow. To be honest.
Wow, I like Tessitore much better. I think Tessitore is a lot better. I do like – Poncher's okay, but –
You're a misogynist. You're a misogynist. What am I going to do?
I can't help it.
You don't like to see women make it.
How dare you? Oh, my gosh. How dare you? You are gross. That's what I will say. All right, let's talk about the Olympic boxing. Your face is priceless. You're like,
I'm gross, but you're still living in the dark ages here with the women.
The dark ages? What are you talking about?
She has every right to be on the broadcast.
I told you I was going to buy the Christina Cruz pay-per-view.
It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's a false equivalency.
That's not a false equivalency. How would I live in the dark ages if I'm going to buy her pay-per-view?
I had to shame you into buying it. You didn't really want to buy it.
What difference does it make how it gets done? It got done.
It has to come from your heart, man. You have to really mean it.
It's coming from my wallet. That's even better.
No, you don't want to buy it. I had to shame you into it.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, man. Cold-blooded. All right.
How to treat men and women the same.
Richard Torres, the USA boxing team. Steve, they're killing it over there.
Oh, my God.
They're doing great, right?
I was beautiful.
Crushing it. You see Duke Reagan?
I did not, but I saw the other guy.
Duke Reagan, baby. You know where he's from, don't you?
Ohio.
Right here in Cincy. Right here in Titletown, baby. Richard Torres from the USA, still in the super heavyweight bracket. Who else here? Let's see. We still have some more in there. I think O'Shea,
I got to find that one for you.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, hold on.
Keyshawn Davis, still in the lightweight.
Yes.
He looked good the other day, man. He knocked that dude out, boy.
Yes.
That might have been an early stoppage, but that guy got buzzed, man. They stopped it pretty quick, and he's got to know that.
Yeah, I didn't like that stoppage, but
the writing was on the wall there.
One for us, though.
Keyshawn Davis still in it. Duke Reagan's still in it. He's going to have a tough fight against that guy from Ghana. That's going to be a tough one. Taki, that's going to be a tough fight. I still think he gets past it, but then he's got to get past that Cuban. Still, I think it's definitely doable. Let's see here. So we got a couple of people. We still got a couple of people in there. Let's see. But those are the two main ones. Those are the two main ones right now, the three main ones. So, guys, you know what the other thing that irritates me, though, is they're not showing Olympic boxing on TV. I mean, they may show, like, one or two, but they're not showing, like, events. You got to go online to watch those.
That's right.
And it's all, like, at 10:30, 11:30, 12.
They're doing us dirty. They're doing us dirty.
They really are. They really are. And you know what, they have a billion channels over there, right? They've got a billion channels. NBC owns a billion of those channels, and they got nonsense on there. I was watching field hockey today. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life, you know, watching field hockey?
Great game.
Not bad. It's not bad. All right. 530, Robert. Ringside Robert.
Hello, guys.
Live. Robbie?
Yep.
You manscaped, don't you?
Yeah, I have to because I'm too hairy.
There you go.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, I don't want to picture that.
Stop it, Pete.
Hey, if you don't want to know the answer to the question, don't ask.
That's right.
I didn't ask it. This weirdo did.
Okay.
Hey, Robert, you got guys sending you clothes?
No. But, hey, I don't fault Joe and Brian for sending shirts back and forth. I think that's cool. I think
I don't
you're
either.
Wrong
There's nothing wrong
that.
With that.
I think you're
nothing
wrong,
wrong
here.
With it.
So.
I said there was nothing wrong with it.
Well, you had a completely different tune when Brian was on the phone, so.
No, not me.
Yep. Anyway, guys, good boxing yesterday. I have no complaints. I think Michael Coffey's got to go back to the drawing board, and I don't know how much he can improve because he is 35 years old. But it looked completely obvious to me yesterday. He was totally unprepared for what he dealt with there. So, and I don't know why Fox was hyping up a guy that's 35 years old. Because Rice showed several weaknesses in Coffey yesterday, and I didn't even know anything about Jonathan Rice until I watched that yesterday. I even told Beeb yesterday, I said, I don't know who this guy is. Well, we know who he is now. So, and,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel bad for the whole Caleb Plant, Canelo situation. I thought fighters had more say-so in their careers, and it looks like Caleb Plant is being used and abused here by his own promotional organization. Why would you want to throw away such a golden ticket? Yes, you may lose, but if you're competitive, you'll get paid more in the future. You'll never make another $10 million, but your asking price for future fights will go up if you put on a decent enough performance.
Yeah, that's true, Robert.
I'm really disappointed in PBC for pulling this garbage, and I've been a supporter of theirs because I've liked what they've done. I've liked the way they've treated their fighters. They've had competitive fights, but you can't do stuff like this. Yeah, maybe you want to keep the title in house. I've heard that rumor. And you eventually want him to fight David Benavidez. Well, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that Caleb Plant beats David Benavidez either, because Benavidez is, in my opinion, much better than Caleb Plant. But hell, we don't even know if David Benavidez is going to even stay at 168 because he's had trouble making that weight. He might move up to 175. You know. And if David Benavidez moves up to 175 and Canelo is there, maybe David Benavidez will eventually get that opportunity. But I hate this whole situation. It was going to be on pay-per-view. Yeah, we were probably going to have to pay $80 for it. But, and I know fighters may not care about the undisputed title these days, but I still think it's something worth having, even if you don't keep him. Look at Josh Taylor. He goes out there and wins his fight in May, and he's got multiple options, and he hasn't said what he's going to do. From what I hear, Charlo and Castaño are working on a rematch. I mean, as a boxing fan who doesn't, wouldn't ordinarily know about the business of boxing, that's something you can advertise to the casual boxing fan. Look, this is for the undisputed title. I think it's a wonderful selling point. And yes, Beeb, I totally agree with you. Fox is behind this because they're getting tired of being given bad fights. Look at the card next week that's on Fox. That's not what Fox is paid for. Fox is paid for pay-per-views like Spence and Pacquiao. They paid for competitive fights like that. They're not paying for what they're going to have next week. So I totally agree. I think Fox is behind this, and I do think that they will walk away from the PBC if they don't start getting more competitive fights.
There you go. There you go. All right, Robert.
And that undercard is horrible for Pacquiao Spence.
It's awful.
Oh, God.
It's awful. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible,
yeah.
Right?
It's such a bad undercard.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna buy the fight anyway because I want to see Pacquiao Spence.
Yeah. I'll buy it too, but I'm just not happy with the undercard.
Yeah,
no, I'm not either. I mean, yeah, you've got Robert Guerrero fighting Victor Ortiz. Give me a break.
Jesus Christ.
Awful. All right, Robbie, we're gonna get moving. We got a couple more people on the line here.
Oh.
Let's go to Milcar, 718. 718, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right, 718, once, twice. Got to go. All right. Let's see here, 602, and then we're going to go to Chakal. Chakal's been waiting for a while, so we're going to get him. 602, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Brandon from Phoenix. How you guys doing?
Brandon, what's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. Just chilling, man. I didn't watch any of the PBC stuff this weekend or any of the zone. I've been watching a lot of Olympic boxing. And I've been really enjoying it, man. It's just nice to see good competitive fights. You know, I wish MBC would organize it maybe a little bit better. And I completely agree with you, Eric. I don't understand why we can't get a little bit of boxing on regular TV. I mean, it's just kind of mind-boggling, especially when we have Americans doing well.
Yeah. I mean, why not put it on now, eh? I mean, at the very least.
Something. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, the best fight that I saw a great fight between this Dominican, Sedano, and the Ukrainian guy. I can't remember his name. It, you know, some five-syllable name or whatever. But that was a great fight. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the Brazilian lightweight, Wanderson, I believe his name is. He's somebody to look out for. And there was a Cuban flyweight that I watched this morning who had a terrific performance against a Ghanaian fighter who was making some noise. But, you know, those are my takeaways. There's a really good another Cuban, dark-skinned Cuban, who I think he's a welter middleweight, who put it on a British guy. He's pretty good, too. But I'm liking what I see, you know. I mean, there's definitely some young talent. I haven't caught as many of the Americans as you would think, but I've seen some of the highlights and it's just been a real entertaining tournament, and I seeing the differences between amateur boxing and pro boxing, you know, I can see why certain people stick around in the amateurs a little bit longer, and I'm not very impressed with the big British guy. It was Fraser Clark. I'm not impressed by that guy. I don't think that guy's going to turn into a Joy Joyce or anything like that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I tell you what, the boxing has been great. It's been competitive. It's really good. They got the open scoring, which makes it nice. They're on that 10-point must, which makes it nice. And they're not showing it. They're just kind of dropping the ball on this, in my opinion, anyway, because all of the fights have been really good so far.
Yeah, it's been a good tournament. Is there any fighters that have caught your eye that you're looking forward to watching after the Olympics?
Yeah, the two Americans, Keyshawn and Duke Reagan. Was it Keyshawn Davis, I believe it is, and then Duke Reagan. And Duke Reagan's already a pro. He's 4-0, you know. But Keyshawn Davis looks really good, too. So those two, you know, and they're both in the medal rounds now, I believe. At least I know Duke Reagan is. But, yeah, man, I think it's great.
All right, man. Well, that's all.
The guy who's fighting Reagan next, that guy Taki from Ghana, he's another good one. I mean, there's a ton of them there.
Oh, I saw the Taki fight versus he fought some Colombia guy. He had to really gut it out. That was a pretty good fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
That was one. Yeah. But anyway, man, that was a pretty good one. If you guys are feeling it or whatnot. But anyway, man, y'all keep up the good work on the show, man. I'll holler at y'all.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Be good, bro.
All right, we're going to try this one more time. Amilcar, 718, you're live.
Yo, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, man? How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm pretty good, man. Usually I like to cook on topics like, you know, whether Mark Breland spiked the water or not. He obviously didn't. Or, you know, the hate Canelo's been getting in the sport of boxing. But I think we've exhausted that topic a little bit. So I was going to ask you guys about what your thoughts are on the whole pros fighting against amateurs in the Olympics.
Well, the thing is, it's two different styles. It's kind of like boxing and bare-knuckle boxing. You know what I mean? On the surface, you look at it and you say, okay, it's the same thing. It's the same sport. But when you actually get in there, they're actually real two really different sports. And, you know, the thing is, like, it's a much faster pace. With the amateurs, it's much faster paced. They score a little bit differently. It's not the same type of scoring that you're used to. There's no, you know, you've got to be throwing punches from the first, you know, from the bell to bell. You know, it's just a different animal. So when pros go in there, a lot of times, what do we have? We had a couple pros go in there last Olympics and then just got starched because, you know, I think Amnett Ruinwong was one of those guys that went over there and got pasted. Because, again, it's different. Again, it's a different sport. It's not the same thing that you're used to in the pros.
No, I agree. And, I mean, my other question is, you got guys like Hassan Endikam Jikam. You guys remember him, right? The French Cameroonian fighter.
I do. He was another one that went down there, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what does that do to your career as a pro if, like, you take an L against guys that have never fought pro in an amateur tournament? I just don't really understand the benefit of it, really, like, once you've already turned pro. But I'm interested in hearing what you guys think.
Well, the thing is that when you turn, you know, for guys like Duke Reagan, and there's another guy out there who's got, like, maybe 8 pro fights. He's a heavyweight. I think he's a Kazakhstan fighter. He's a heavyweight, I believe. Yeah, the guy that Lou DiBella, yeah. He's got, like, 8 pro fights. It's not going to do anything to those guys. But the guys that are established, like, say, like, I'll give you an example, like, I don't know, like, give me a champion right now, anybody. If a champion went over there, like Canelo went over there right now.
Let's say if Devin Haney went over, right? Devin Haney's in his early 20s.
It would be
He's got a championship that a lot of people are not recognizing, which I think is kind of unfair to him, but that's another story. He goes into the Olympics,
Devin Haney,
right?
Devin Haney goes over there and loses. It's horrible. His career, I mean, is going to be really bad, you know, because you losing the, you know, again, that's why they don't want to take a lot of those chances because, you know, if you're 4-0, 8-0, whatever, it's not going to be that big of a deal to go over there and win or lose. But if you're an established pro, a Ryan Garcia or somebody like that going over there and losing, that ain't good, man. That's not going to be good at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
No.
I agree. Joe?
Oh, I don't think it's really worth it for a pro to go back into the amateurs and compete in the Olympics. I don't think I just don't think the reward is great enough. We asked Christina Cruz, too, because she's turning pro because she was thinking about trying to get in the Olympics. And then I asked her, well, would you consider going back into the Olympics, you know, even though you know when you turn pro, you have a couple fights under there. When it comes around again, would you consider going back? She said no because she's just lost the interest. I think once you turn pro, I like Eric said, it's a different style. So I think you should just focus on that. And why go backwards, really?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Style.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both of you. And it's like once you've already kind of gotten the pattern of how to fight as a pro, going to the amateur system and having to kind of relearn what you were already being trained to forget, it's got to be difficult. And, you know, you lose in these tournaments as an amateur when you're a pro. I mean, it's it can't be a good look. But before I go, I have another question for you, because I got kind of triggered yesterday, to be honest. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm a millennial, or maybe it's because I'm just, like, too much of a diehard fan and I just need to let this shit go, right? But I was on a UK channel yesterday because I was watching the Kanzu fight. And, you know, I'm a boxing nerd, so like a lot of boxing nerds, when their wives aren't around, you start looking for things like live watch-along parties, which I did yesterday, and I am a little ashamed to admit it, but I actually did end up doing that. And so I'm watching this thing on this UK channel, and I can mention the name or not. I don't want to, like, bring you guys into this debate other than to get your opinions on whether I've just lost my mind. You know, the Kanzu's fight taking place, and literally as soon as the British fighter starts to make it clear that he's likely going to win this fight, these two dudes just start going on about, like, it's a world title and this is going to be the second world champion from Nottingham, and then they're all excited that this guy's won the title, which they call it a title. I don't call the regular title a title, I'm sorry. And then I'm getting into a debate with them, like a boxing nerd would, in the chat section, and they're trying to tell me that Alexander Povetkin was a world champion, and that if Lucas Brown could call himself a world champion, why can't this guy? Look, the guy had a good win. I don't know if you guys saw it. I tuned in kind of late. Sorry if you talked about that already. But, I mean, where are we, guys, right now in recognizing titles and the WBA regular title?
Well, you know, listen, man, it's tough, because if you're the fighter, and Beeb and I had a big argument about this at one point, if you're the fighter and you win a title, you as a fighter are going to call yourself the champion, no? Whether it's regular, whether it's whatever, you as a fighter are going to call yourself a champion. And you know what? You have every right to do that. You really do. You have every right to do that. Now, other people may call you a title holder or whatever, but if you win that championship, do you not deserve the respect to being called a champion?
I call those guys belt holders.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
I call them belt holders. I don't call them champions. But they're, I'm going to tell you something, Maestro. Believe it or not,
yeah.
Eric and I had the same discussion, and we disagree on it, and that's cool. But I'm with you on it. But Eric believes that, you know, if a fighter is going to fight for a belt and it's a championship belt, he thinks that he believes they have the right to be called a champion. My
well,
opinion is I think that I call them belt holders. I don't call them champions.
And I get 100% where Beeb is coming from. And, like, you know, is Caleb Plant the champion or is Canelo the champion? Clearly Canelo's a champion. I get you. But Caleb Plant has a right to be called a champion as well.
I get Caleb Plant.
But I think a regular title.
Right? Yeah, Joe, that's my thing. It's like you got the regular title, dude. It's like, and I'm sorry. Look, Lucas Brown, I get it. You know, he paid a lot of sanctioning fees. He earned himself a trophy in an interim championship. I get him wanting to call himself a champion. I totally get that. What I don't understand, honestly, is guys that are hardcore heads enough to start their YouTube boxing channels and do, like, the nerdiest thing in the world, which is to do a watch-along party. And, like, I admit, I hold my hand up here. Like, I go on
these
things.
We do the same thing, yeah. We do the same thing.
I mean, especially when my wife is busy and, you know, she's out doing her own stuff. But, look, the networks, I don't want them to say it. I don't want, like, the Chris Mannix and the Mike Kappingers and the other people to refer to these dudes as champions. But once you start getting into the YouTube boxing community and you start capping, like, to me, that's like a bridge too far. But, you know, look, if I've gone crazy, I need you guys to, like, to just check my craziness and just let me know.
No. No, I don't think so. And I don't think either one, either, you know, I don't think looking at it either way is wrong. I mean, it's just what you, you know, there's clearly better fighters in the divisions, you know. So, I mean, the public really determines who's the guy, you know, the guy who beats the guy or the guy who, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing that I dislike more in the sport of boxing than that regular title. That really,
thank you.
irritates me.
It sucks.
I don't like the franchise title.
I don't like the franchise title.
But the franchise is not even a title. It's a designation.
Yes.
I don't like that. But I dislike this WBA title more, and I'll tell you why. Because here's the problem, and you already talked about this. When they lump it in to records, it diminishes what fighters have done before. Like Bernard Hopkins.
Like Triple G.
Golovkin did not break that record. It's almost like moving the goalposts for, you know, to create a new statistic. And this is what, and the whole, it's like the whole thing with Mayweather beating more world champions than any other fighter in history. Well, that's because he's fighting in an era with more belts.
Everybody's got 50 belts, yeah.
With more belts than anyone in history. So
yeah, that's a good
These statistics, well, shout out to Dougie Fisher because he said it. He said it as well. And, these statistics get watered down. And, again, this is my opinion. They become less impressive. And I think that they're not as relevant because of all of these. It's like having the league, when the league had all those expansion teams in it, more players are able to make teams, right? Because the league is watered down. Yeah. Boxing has become watered down. Sports have become watered down.
I'm going to leave it at this, and I'm gonna just disconnect and ask you guys to comment off when I'm back on hold. But we're at a point right now, guys, where you have, in some divisions, 7 or 8 world champions. We've got 2 WBC title holders right now. We've got like 4 dudes in the WBA, Joshua, Char. We've also got Hellenius, and we've also got Trevor Bryan, right? We've got too many, it's silly season, and at least that's what I think, and I'll leave it there, guys. Thank you, as always, for a great show.
All right, thank you so much. You know what, and as much as we hate this, as much as we hate it, the bottom line is it ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. They like those sanctioning fees.
It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
I've accepted it. One thing I've learned doing this for a long time is you can't change people's minds. If people want to believe something, they're going to believe it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You can only be accountable for your own opinions, right?
That's it. That's it. Area code 619. I believe this is Chakal. You're live.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Aaron, can you hear me?
Orale! Arriba la raza!
You're doing good,
hang on, buddy.
You're doing good. Getting your Spanish a lot better. It was a very interesting point what Amilcar was saying right now about the titles, you know. And I feel that at the end of the day, the reason why we've been getting so many champions now is because you can see that the sport nowadays is being more fraction. You know, we have more promoters with more backup from TV networks. So with that being said, you need to have kind of like a champion on each promotion company and each network. So that's kind of like the difference, what I feel like now, that's the need of having more champions, because everybody needs to get their own. You know, with the whole issue about boxing promoters not being able to work together, and, you know, the fans not being able to get, you know, the best against the best, well, then you need to have your own subdivisional champions in each category. Sometimes they are in different promotional companies and TV networks. That's the reason. And obviously that's been diluting the sport. I think the posture that is being created nowadays, where fighters now are looking more the route towards unification and becoming undisputed, the message that Canelo is giving to the whole boxing world and all the other champions, where he's kind of like, even that he's the cash cow and he doesn't necessarily need to fight this guy or that guy because he's still going to make a lot of money, but he's trying to, you know, unify the whole division. It's kind of leaving a good message to the rest of the sport, because now they're realizing that they need to fight against each other. However, you start seeing these things, right? Like when you know, when he's trying to do it, it's so damn hard to get everything together. And then sometimes it's even impossible unless that your weight class is like a weight class that is not very either well-known or is not very popular right now, where you can have those tournaments like the World Boxing Super Series and everybody can get together like they did in the cruiserweight or they did in the 140 and finally get one unified undisputed champion. So, I mean, it's a good route, I guess, where the sport is going right now. But then you get these, you know, these pushbacks, like what is happening with Canelo, which that was my main, you know, my main reason why I call you guys right now, because I kind of like got a little bit late into the show when you guys were talking to Michael Montero. So I'm not sure what exactly is what you found, Beav, and everything. And I think, like they said, you know, the devil is in the details. But I do feel from what I heard that the whole thing why the fight is not happening is because of that particular clash on opinions or whatever with that injury clause. And the main reason why I think that's the real reason is because if they were already working towards the fight and they knew that it was going to be a multi-deal contract and they kind of like agree and they were going forward, why would it even put that clause on? You know what I mean? You know that if he gets injured and you get a backup guy, well, then that fight is not going to be against Caleb Plant. So it will be one fight out of the contract, and then the next fight might be Caleb Plant. So it would be the second fight, I guess, out of three-fight contract or whatever, you know, if you already agree on that. But from what I heard, it was only one fight. And that's what I understood a little bit, that yeah. The whole clause is basically about yeah. The fact that he's only getting paid for one fight. You know what I mean? $40 million, which, I mean, is way more than the supposedly $100 million that they were offering for the three fights. So I feel that I never heard that clause before, and I even talked to whoever I know on the team, Canelo, and I was like, wow, that's a very weird clause. I never heard it before. He's like, yeah, this is kind of like something new. But it's kind of like Canelo is being paranoid from what it happened before with Billy Joe Saunders. It's not necessarily the same thing, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like, similar, you know, where you have the fighter and the whole event is already there, and then suddenly he's saying like, hey, you know what, if you don't give me the ring that I want, I'm just going to walk out, and you're going to have to deal with all these. I don't care. I don't care if it's my highest paycheck. I'm just walking out because you want my title, and you will still going to look for me later on. Because that's the problem with Canelo, that he made it very adamant that his whole goal was to be the undisputed champion in 168. So I feel that in this particular deal, Caleb Plant is not the one to blame because he signed his contract, his $10 million contract. And, you know, it's more between Canelo and the PBC trying to get to that, you know, middle point where both agree on the conditions. And I think the clause of having...
Well, then why is Caleb Plant saying he pulled out because of the injury thing?
Well, because that's the thing. That's what is killing the deal. Imagine yourself being the promoter. You need to take your way yourself
you imagine,
away.
Let me ask you here. Okay, so Caleb Plant says I'm not doing it. He says I'm not. This is what I say. I'm not doing it because of this injury clause, and that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's quoted as saying. That's what he told ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he's getting all the money. He conceded to everything, but he's not going to concede. This is what you're going to say is not worth $10 million.
He didn't say in the article that he didn't say that this was,
he was
nothing was mentioned for the exact reason for holding up this fight. There's still stuff we don't know. I'm hearing that it's the multi-fight deal thing has still not been worked out. This injury clause was not even said. He just mentioned it. He didn't say it was actually holding up the fight. That was not.
And there's even
he didn't say that.
There. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes. It's not
if you. Yeah.
We don't. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if we put ourselves in, I mean, and you guys know that I'm a Canelo fan, but I'm just looking at it when you don't get what you want, which is this fight. You have to see and look on different angles of what is happening and why do you think the fight is not going to happen. And you need to put yourself into different teams. And in this particular point, if I was the promoter of the fight, let's get rid of the names and let's just boxer A, boxer B. I mean, you're trying obviously to please the boxer A because he's the A side, but at the end of the day, let's say you had that intention about like maybe 3 weeks before the fight, pull out plan because you want Canelo to fight at least twice in your network and be like, you know what, Canelo, plan got injured, but I have Anthony Zirrell here or whatever. We're not going to pay you the $40 million because obviously you know that, you know, Zirrell is not worth that and we are not going to be able to get the money. But, I mean, I'm going to give you $15, $18 million out of this, which I think is a tremendous pay for you. And I think at the end of the day, Canelo is still going to generate by himself at least 500,000 pay-per-views. The whole arena is going to be full up, even with 30% or 20% less than, you know, the revenue, because obviously Plant is a B-side, but it's not a huge B-side like a Triple G. So, I mean, it's not that kind of, like Plant against Zirrell is going to be a huge, huge difference in sales. It might be a huge difference in like, you know, boxing-wise, but not in the business side. So you're going to be like, okay, let's do this, but then I guarantee you Plant is going to fight you in December. So that sounds like a good deal for Canelo and a good deal for the PBC. However, Canelo has his own businesses, his own calendar, and his own goals that he wants to do. He just wants basically to be the undisputed, and then after that, vacate as many titles as he needs to, and then move forward to different goals, which could be going to the 175 or something like that. But he wants his name in boxing history as the first undisputed boxer in 168, and that is from Mexico. So that doesn't work for Canelo right. that much. So that's why Canelo is coming back with that $40 million. But then if you're coming back with a $40 million, you're like, damn, if you're Al Heyman, I'm like, look, if I was planning to pull that one out, obviously I'm not doing it anymore. But what about if actually Plant gets injured? What about if he gets COVID? Where am I going to be able to pull out those $40 million? How am I going to pursue my investors to let them know that, hey, you need to put the money? But it's coming with this clause, and in case that plan gets injured, we're still going to have to go on with the show, and we're going to a bad business because we're going to lose a lot of money there. So that's the part where I think Canelo, being a new promoter, being advised, not necessarily by Eddie Hearn, because from what I heard, it was more by his lawyer, it's been a little bit, you know, rookie on this situation, and he's asking for things that are not obtainable, that are not, like, you know, rational. So that's what I feel like. It's not Canelo total fault about asking the clause. It's just the amount of money. Maybe if you would have asked for a clause about $25 million or something like that, that you know the fight might not generate with Zirrell, it's going to still be a little bit of a loss for the PBC. But it's a loss where Heyman can handle and be like, you know what? If it's the case that actually Plant gets injured, we can still work something. You know, let's do it. And that's the part where I feel that Canelo is being a little bit irrational on it.
Everything's negotiable.
Now,
right.
Everything is negotiable. And it's conveniently you're only hearing one side. So that's why something is up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
exactly.
Chakal, we're
going to
get running, man. We're going to get running.
Eric,
we got one more on the line. Yes.
Just one thing. Don't take that pie yet because I've heard that the fight might happen in October, okay? So hold on to it.
All right.
Okay, don't take that
fight.
Fight
is
going to
happen
okay?
in October. They're going to work it out. Fight's
okay.
happening in October.
Okay.
They're going to work it out. Don't worry about it.
All right.
All right, Chakal. Listen, I know there's $50 million on the table. If those two idiots can't get it together and work this out over $50 million, if you can't figure that out, I don't know what to tell you, man. I really don't.
I just want to give a shout-out to that. Brilliant caller. That's a fucking brilliant caller. That guy was so fucking spot on. Lorda was talking fucking nonsense, and the caller didn't let him talk.
What are you talking about?
You said that Plant turned down the fight. Plant didn't turn down the fight. He never said that. I'm not going to fight Canelo.
What I read.
PBC turned down
what
the.
I read.
PBC turned down
what
the.
What I read, son.
Not Plant.
Why
are you lying about Plant?
Why is PBC turning down the request though? Why doesn't Plant isn't Plant his own man? How come he didn't tell you? So they just cost him $10 million. What you telling me, huh?
What are you talking about? They're turning it down because he said, what? You want to let me talk or you want to interrupt me? Can I speak?
I just like to interrupt you.
Why are you getting so fucking insecure, dude? Let me speak. It's okay. I mean, you don't have all these rights. Jesus Christ.
Whenever
you ever heard about a promoter giving some star $40 million for some replacement? I mean, when have you ever heard about that? That's what the caller was saying. Canelo is trying to get things that are not obtainable. he's not being rational. And you were saying that Plant turned on the fight. Plant didn't turn on anything. Canelo's just being moronic, and it's probably because DAZN is in his ear, and they want him to stay on the app, because if Canelo leaves, that app is destroyed. Without Canelo, that app is nothing. What else does the app have besides Canelo? I mean, you know, I mean, in America, what do they have? Devin Haney? Who the fuck is watching Devin Haney on DAZN?
Do you think that Fox is going to cancel PBC?
Excuse me?
You think Fox is going to cancel PBC?
What do you mean?
Just what I said. They're going to terminate that contract, son.
According to who?
Ring? What is it, Ring TV? Isn't that what you said,
Beans? That's the article from February. You might want to read the fucking
yeah.
Navy, moron. Like, again, you're such a fucking
moron.
You like
already read it. I already told him. It's still relevant,
that's
son.
That's an article from February. February, dude. You're a moron. You got a fucking
so?
Dog. You're 50 years old.
It's not like it's February 10 years ago.
You just lied about Plant and the other caller exposed you. Now you're lying again.
I didn't
now
lie about anything.
You got to like, what, dude?
Yeah, expose
on.
Me again.
You're like a glutton for punishment. Come on, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah, because I'm being punished here.
So
I tell you why,
yeah. Terminate PBC, so Fox is going to terminate PBC, but they're out there offering $40 million to fighters, right? I mean, just think about what kind of moronic shit is coming out of your mouth, dude. Just think about it. They just gave Manny Pacquiao $30 million to fight Spence, but Fox is going to cancel PBC. This is why you're like a minimum wage worker, Eric. This is really, dude. Come on.
Yeah, that's why they put on they put on some great fights next week, don't they?
Yeah. The most unifications in boxing this year have been on PBC. You fucking moron.
That's
like,
next
really?
Week, huh? That's what they're paying for?
No,
that's what
it's not
Fox
next
is paying
week.
For? That explosive
action next week?
No, that Gypsy
Bum, that gypsy bum lied and ran away,
you
remember?
Shut your
gypsy
face.
Bum ran away, you moron,
shut
remember?
Your mouth, son.
See? You can't even fucking lie
I
about
love
PBC
Jason
right,
calls
dude. You
in,
can't
son.
Even lie about PBC right. Come on. You can't
I'm not
even
lying
about
him.
You just
I
lied.
Lying about him,
like,
son.
Dude, you lied in like two calls.
You're a little hoe, you know that?
You're just a little hoe. Come on. Jesus.
You're a manscape or what?
Come on. You got a fucking.
He ain't even answering,
you got a brain.
He ain't even answering.
Brain is out of the fucking socket. Come on.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Dude, shut up. Don't talk about my personal life.
I'm asking questions. What? I'm asking questions.
I was pulling the Lord. I remember you got.
See, perhaps if you manscaped, you would. You know what I mean?
I was gonna. Hey, Beeb, you were giving. Hey, hold on, Beeb, you were giving a Dougie a shout out earlier. You know that's the guy who used to celebrate GGG's title defenses. So he likes to pick and choose. He'll bash the WBA regular belt when the Tank is fighting. But last night he was celebrating Zhu Kan for fighting the championship belt. So you know we got to call Dougie out too. That's the guy who's been celebrating.
Dougie
GGG.
Out. He's a friend
and
of the show.
Fuck Dougie. And
when
fuck
Dougie
Man
was on the show,
Dougie's a friend of the show,
Dougie,
son.
When Dougie was on the show. Him and I had several disagreements, but I didn't
yeah,
insult
I remember,
him, and he didn't
right.
insult me. He had several
yeah, but,
disagreements.
You
got
to do it, Jay.
But last night, he was congratulating Zhu Kan for fighting for the championship belt, and he had no problem with the regular WBA. But when Tank
that's
is fighting
his,
Barrios, he's like,
evil. Listen, I can't tell
no,
people. I'm only responsible. I'm only responsible for my
then?
Only. I'm only responsible for my own opinions. I can't police the internet. That's I don't have time.
Hey,
I'm sorry,
guys,
I can't
some,
do
some,
it.
Guys, all right, let me just finish this and I'm out of here. There's some people saying in the chat that Heyman's loyal to you, so the network, not to the fighter. Why would Heyman offer Canelo his biggest payday? Canelo has never made $40 million guaranteed in his fucking life. This is his biggest payday. This is a raise. Canelo and Heyman raised his first by like $10 million. He's making $30 million a fight right now on DAZN. DAZN canceled that clown's contract, sent him packing, and told him, you have to take a pay cut. Go from 35 to 25, and Heyman said, okay, come to PBC, I'll give you 40. And now he's acting like a fucking diva. And also, let me read you this quote from The Athletic. It said, in individual briefs of the coming talks, PBC has already offered him a high, career-high person. They are still asking him for more. Everything from injury substitution, his plan is mentioned, to limits on how much publicity or PR Canelo is going to do. He said he won't even do much publicity for the pay-per-view, and he want Canelo to pay him more money? Like, what the fuck is this, dude? This guy's a fucking diva. That's what he is. That's it. He just wants to sit on his ass and make career high payday. Who does that? Mayweather used to fucking promote the pay-per-view like fucking weeks. Canelo, even Lorda used to say that. Mayweather used to promote that shit all the time.
That is not a very
Canelo's
nice thing to say about Canelo.
Gonna, fuck Canelo and fuck DAZN. These motherfuckers are going to just give you more Eurobums. And also, Bivol's manager just came out And he said Bivol is still out of the country. So if Canelo doesn't call Bivol in a day or give a contract, he said this fight is not possible either. So you guys better get ready for fucking some fucking, like, you know, Fowler or some shit. That's what he's going to be fighting, a fucking fight camp in England. That's what's happening.
Wow.
That's what's going to happen.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jason. I appreciate it. I don't know if Beeb does.
Yeah, and hopefully Canelo's not back on roids and shit, because I think Canelo just wants to take roids and be fighting on his own with no drug testing. That's what I think is going on. He wants no VADA drug testing. Because if you fight an IBF champ, you got to get VADA tested. Canelo doesn't want to get that done. He's back on that clenbuterol.
Once again, Jason, you've hit the nail on every head. I like it. That's why I have you on here.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right, man, we're going to get running. Thanks for calling, man. All right. All right, guys. H Money in the chat. Salute. 50 Cal, salute. JC, salute. Claudio, salute. The Don, thank you so much. He says PBC groupies can't get over the fact that Canelo just killed the PBC with one swoop. There you go. There you go. All right, guys. That is going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.